and clouds and light rain as well. Stay tuned now. It's time for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You are invited to attend a forum examining the role of minorities in government and business. It takes place Wednesday, March 22nd at the University of Missouri, St. Louis in the Century Room of the Millennium Center. Guest speakers include California Congressman Maxine Waters, Missouri State Senator Rita Hurd Davis of the 14th District, and WGNU wake-up call host Liz Brown. This national forum for black public administrators is presented in conjunction with the University of Missouri, St. Louis, and the Associated Black Collegians. Admission is free. Call 436-8721 for more information.
The American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, I'm Dr. Tom Shives. In the movies, pratfalls are a common way to get a laugh, but in real life, falling down is no laughing matter. Every year, more than 730,000 people over age 65 are treated for falls related to stairs, bathtubs, furniture, and carpeting. Here are some tips to keep you on your feet. Use good lighting in your home. Don't place loose area rugs at the bottom or top of stairs, and put treads on each bare wood step. Install grab bars on bathroom walls near the toilet and bath or shower. Clear any clutter or electrical cords from the floors and watch out for pets that can trip you up. And if you can't stand on one foot for more than 5 seconds, try balance strengthening exercises such as Tai Chi. These tips can help you cut your risk of falling and injuring yourself. For more information, visit the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons online at aaos.org.
As the temperature outside starts to dip, the ASPCA reminds you to think about your pet's safety and recommends the following guidelines to protect your companion animals. Antifreeze, even in very tiny doses, is a lethal poison for dogs and cats. Unfortunately, because of its sweet taste, animals are attracted to it. Be sure to thoroughly clean up any spills from your vehicle. Call your veterinarian or the ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center at 1-888-4ANI-HELP if you suspect your animal has been poisoned. If you have a short-haired breed, consider getting her a warm coat or sweater with a high collar or turtleneck. Look for one that covers the dog from the base of the tail on top to the belly underneath. While this may seem like a luxury, it is a necessity for many. Never leave your dog or cat alone in a car during the cold weather. A car can act as a refrigerator in the winter, holding in the cold. Your companion animal could freeze to death. Visit www.aspca.org for more information.
Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me, sister.
Shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. My goodness gracious, we have so much stuff. So much, so much, so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877. You need to 877-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. How are things going out there? How are things going out there? I'm thinking that things aren't going too well for some folks out there. It kind of feels that way. I'm not one to, accept without question what a particular poll says or does not say. Yeah, I don't think that it is necessarily smart to do so. However, that is not to say that polls are not instructive, cannot be instructive. It's not to say that polls are not sometimes accurate. I just don't think that we should overemphasize polls. However, having said that, I think that when a poll says something extraordinary that is consistent with what you see in your world, I think that it is important that we emphasize and talk about a particular poll result. George W. Bush's approval ratings are tanking. That's a technical legal phrase. That means things are not going well. He's on a downward spiral, if you will. Or perhaps maybe a more accurate and descriptive phrase would be, he's on a bullet trail down. He's hovering in the upper 30s of his approval rating, mid to upper 30s. He hasn't seen 40% for a while. Even Fox News is giving him an approval rating in the 30s, so that tells you how bad it is. When Fox can't find a way, they'll lie themselves out of an assessment of George W. Bush. But perhaps George W. Bush is not as worried about his polls as he should be, because he's kind of like always looking on the bright side of life. Because I guess in George Bush's world, in Boy George's world, in his myopic, cloistered, segregated, removed world. Did you get that picture? He is taking comfort. Boy George is taking comfort in the fact that, shoot, bad as my stuff is, at least I ain't Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney's approval ratings are 18%. Ouch. 18%. And I think that that's a plus or minus 10 points. It's probably closer to 8%. The Washington Post did an analysis on how low the 18% is. And this is a public opinion survey poll conducted by CBS. They said that even Spiro Agnew, remember him? Remember Spiro? Spiro Agnew, remember him? He is the vice president who resigned due to tax evasion allegations during the Nixon presidency. So we've got a little, we've got a corruption criminal combo going on here. We have the corrupt and criminal Rich Tricky Dick and Spiro Agnew, who resigned during his tenure with Tricky Dick. And even Spiro Agnew's approval ratings were at 45% even after he resigned in 1973. Ouch. 18%. And perhaps, maybe this administration has a special, unique ability to make, I don't know, lemonade out of lemons. Put a happy face on it. Boy George takes comfort in his 30-something approval rating because he says, at least I'm not Dick Cheney. And Dick Cheney, perhaps he takes comfort in his 18% approval rating because he's not Paris Hilton, because she's the only person that got lower than 18%. She got 15% approval rating. Maybe that's how they deal with it. Everybody has, you know, they find your coping mechanisms to deal with adverse times, confusing times, bad times. And Boy George says, at least I ain't Dick. And Dick Cheney says, at least I ain't Paris. Meanwhile, the rest of us have to live in this world where Dick and Boy George are running things, despite the fact that ain't nobody happy with them. Ain't nobody happy with them. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll free long distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Boy George shuffled on off to New Orleans. It's been 6 months, a little over 6 months, since hundreds of thousands of Americans lost their homes. Did you hear what I'm saying? Are you feeling me? Hundreds of thousands of Americans have lost their homes. And Boy George shuffled on down to the Gulf Coast region. It's the first time that he went to the Ninth Ward. And the White House is making much ado about Boy George being there. They said that he's been to New Orleans 10 times since 100,000 Americans, hundreds of thousands of Americans lost their homes, thousands of Americans lost their lives, hundreds of thousands of people have been misplaced and missing, hundreds of children can't find their mamas and daddies. We have a nightmare there. In terms of the environment, we have an environmental nightmare. And George Bush, boy, George has only been there 10 times. It seems to me that you should have a satellite White House down there. You should have a satellite White House down there. And you know what? Here's the other piece. I would like to, I would say that Boy George has spent more time reading See, Dick, Run to children in schools. I bet he's been to more elementary schools for photo ops with black babies than he has been to New Orleans. Which is more important? My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. 10 lousy times, 100,000 people have lost their, over 100,000 people have lost their homes. That's it? You've been down there. And I want to know, here's the piece that I want to know. This is why I need a staff, an extra big staff. I want to know how long he spent when he went to New Orleans in the Gulf Coast region. I want to know how they get to the numbers. I want to know how they get to the numbers. Car phone.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
I wonder how much interest has he gained on that political capital that he said he had after he stole his second election. And we can go to the mountains of Bora Bora in Afghanistan and all over around the world after earthquakes and dig bodies out from under the ground, and we can't go to the Gulf Coast down there and get bodies out of houses that has collapsed. We're still finding bodies down there. And
absolutely,
no one's reporting and talking about that.
That's right. Because
that is sinful.
And what is doubly sinful, T, is the fact that there are two reasons why those bodies that there hasn't been any effort to find the bodies. One, George Bush doesn't care about people.
That's right.
And number two, George Bush cares about the polls and his reputation more than anything else. It would be, what's the word I'm looking for? The phrase I'm looking for? Bad press to find dead American bodies.
Yes,
so they ain't
right.
Look. They ain't looking.
They're finding mummified bodies still,
yes,
and now people out here looking for their parents.
That's
and they
right.
Land in these buildings.
That's
also,
right.
Have you ever heard of this documentary called Loose Change?
No, I haven't.
Oh, Liz, I watched it the other day. I was just messing around and saw it and almost brought tears to my eyes. Go to Google, Loose Change, the fourth link down, second edition. It tells the whole story about 9/11.
Okay.
And the guy who was on your show, and the maintenance guy,
yes,
he's on now, they talked about real quick in the Pentagon, that was a missile, because they said if the hole was only 9 feet wide, and where's the wing hole? And where's the engines? And they talked to me. Make sure you repeat that link over and over and over again. Let people see it. You're going to be amazed, and I hate that I won't be able to hear you in the next hour.
All
I almost
right.
Got tears to my ass.
All right. Thank you,
T.
454-0400 is my phone number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Yeah, Lou.
Yes.
Hi. I went out to the lottery office the other day, and it looked more like a holding pen for cattle than a waiting room for people.
You went where?
To the lottery office.
Okay, I don't know where that is.
Oh, out in St. Louis County, off just south of Page or just east of 270. You know where you go out and collect if you hit the lottery or something?
Okay, no, I'm not familiar with that, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, I walked in, and there was nobody in. There was one woman in there, and she was at the counter filling out some cards. And I walked up to the counter, and this woman started screaming and going on, "Don't come up to the counter until I call you. Can't you read the sign?" And they got signs and chains everywhere, and the place is no bigger than a utility room, and they got most of it chained off. And she's yelling and screaming. I figured it was absolutely unnecessary and more than likely racist.
All right. Thank you, John.
Okay.
We're going to take a break. This is Liz Brown. Wake up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Stay with me.
I got something I want to talk about. Y'all listen here. The time has come to air my feelings. Yeah. There's just so much confusion going down. I'm not the kind to be complaining. But sometimes you got to stand out from the crowd. Everyone got their own opinion. And you know,
good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Dove Energy Glow Body Lotion. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed to eastbound traffic. Crews are performing maintenance work. Northbound 55 onto the ramp to westbound 44. That accident has been cleared. Eastbound 270 at West Florissant and New Halls Ferry. There's an accident reported in the center lane. Use caution as you roll up to that. Eastbound 44 from Antire to Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Northbound 55 from Merrimack Bottom to Lost Burrow. Everything's on the move. Northbound 270 from Gravoy to Manchester is running smoothly. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake all the way into Brentwood looks good. Westbound 270 from Lilac to Washington Elizabeth looks good. Westbound 5570 split at the PSD is slow in the southbound 55 exit lanes. Westbound 64 at 5570 split looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Missouri Bank is closed on the right lane for work on the casino. Expect slow traffic this morning. Northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge, no problems to report there. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Dove Energy Glow Body Lotion. A woman's glow is beautiful, and now every woman can enhance her own glow with new Dove Energy Glow Body Lotion with skin brighteners. Visit Dove.com today for your free sample while supplies last. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Breezy showers and thunderstorms this morning, locally heavy rainfall at times. Showers and thunderstorms are likely to go on throughout the afternoon hours with a high in the lower 60s, but temperatures will be falling into the 50s by the afternoon. This evening, colder, breezy, showers likely in the evening with a low in the lower 40s. Friday, partly sunny with a high around 60. Friday evening, partly cloudy, becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low in the lower 50s. And on Saturday, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 54 degrees and rain. Lambert Field is reporting 56 and rain as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the host of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one. We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune in to our show, Let's Get Wealthy, this coming Wednesday, March 15th at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
The Confluence Chapter of the Missouri Master Naturalist Program is offering a spring training class beginning Tuesday, March 14th. Classes will be held from 3 to 6 on Tuesday afternoons through May 16th at the August A. Bush Conservation Area in St. Charles. 2-day-long field sessions are planned for April 15th and May 6th. Participants are expected to attend all afternoon and Saturday sessions. The enrollment fee is $95 and the class is limited to 25 participants. To find out more, call 636-970-3000 or 636-300-1953, extension 244. You can also visit extension.missouri.edu for more information. Something for you from Radio Free St. Louis.
I'm Frank Scafidi, Director of Public Affairs at the National Insurance Crime Bureau. Becoming a victim of an earthquake may be impossible to avoid, but you can't avoid being victimized by dishonest contractors and adjusters. After an earthquake, salespeople go from door to door in damaged neighborhoods offering cleanup or repair services. While many of these business people are honest and reputable, others are not. Educate yourself against unscrupulous operators. Get everything in writing. Demand references and check them out. A catastrophe greatly magnifies the opportunity for fraud. Don't be tempted to conspire in an insurance claim. Insurance fraud is a felony. For more tips about avoiding disaster fraud, visit the NICB website at www.nicb.org. To report disaster fraud, call 1-800-TEL-NICB. That's 1-800-TEL-NICB.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle, Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
What happened if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path, one that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Tammy Pilsen just saved a child's life. Mark Heidegger just stopped pain and suffering. Larry Norris just checked line 28B on his Illinois tax return and guaranteed another child's safety. How can something so simple as checking a line on your Illinois tax return do so much?
Wait till I get my hands on you. This time you're gonna pay.
More than 2,000 children are seriously injured or killed as a result of child abuse each year. You can help. Check line 28B on your Illinois tax return and guarantee another child's safety. Helping is as simple as checking line 28B on your Illinois tax return. Won't you help protect a child? Please. A message brought to you by Prevent Child Abuse Illinois and this station.
You might think it would be easy to spot a child that's having vision problems.
Here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
Whoa.
Eye doctors know that 1 in 4 children has a vision problem, but the symptoms might not be so obvious. Considering that 80% of all childhood learning happens through the eyes, it is clear that good eyesight and good grades go hand in hand. For more information on young vision problems, go to checkyearly.com. That's checkyearly.com. A public service message from the Vision Council of America. And reading is fundamental.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Ha ha.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. We're going to do something a little different here. We're going to, in the next hour, of course, is Eye on the Lou. And that's where we take a time to connect what's happening on a local issue here in the city of St. Louis, in the St. Louis region, to the world and the nation. And we usually spend an hour there, and we are going to spend an hour there this morning as well. But the fact of the matter is that we have to, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to do the, an extension, if you will, an enhancement, if you will, of the Eye on the Lou, because in the next hour we are going to, be talking about a national issue about taking over of schools, charter schools, privatization of schools, and vouchers. We're going to be talking about that. So we're going to take a little extra time here to add some additional info to Eye on the Lou. So joining me in the studio this morning, of course, is Irene J. Smith. Irene J. Smith, good morning.
Good morning, Liz, and your listening audience.
How are you this morning?
Hey, it's raining, but I'm here.
All right, now. The reason, Irene, that we wanted to do this was to, because there is a very important issue that has national ramifications, the Civilian Oversight Board in the city of St. Louis. It's going to be perfected, or has been perfected, and it's going to be voted on perhaps this Friday. This Friday, yeah.
That's correct. It has been perfected, even though Steve Grigali attempted to filibuster.
How'd that work out for him?
Oh, it didn't.
Okay. And I got, and I have to jump a little bit here because I got a word on the street that I want to share. We normally share at another time, but I want to share this word on the street, which is kind of the reason why we're here this morning doing an anticipatory, an extra piece to the Eye on the Lou. Word on the street is that the Police Officers Association is threatening members of the Board of Aldermen to prevent them from voting for Board Bill 69 to establish a civilian oversight of the police. They will hold back on responding to calls in the wards of the older people that support this bill. That's going on.
Yeah, that's my understanding. It is going on. You know, letters have gone out to individuals.
Amazing letters.
Amazing. I mean, strong.
Strong.
Very strong.
Threatening letters.
Threatening letters. And letters that, you know, some of them don't have a grain of truth in them.
And this is for, and then they're on, one of them I've seen is on the letterhead of the St. Louis Police Officers Association Fraternal Order of Police on that letterhead, and also just one that's sent on an email from a person, Joe, the recording secretary of the St. Louis Police Officers Association, Joe Steiger. To Alderman Bosley, and this is a letter that's particularly troubling.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't mind, let me share some of this and get some of your thoughts on this, Irene. It's a letter to Alderman Bosley, and it says, "I am writing to you to express my concern with your recent backing of the Civilian Review Board for the St. Louis Police Department. In fact, it's a Civilian Oversight Board. During my tenure with the St. Louis Police Department, I served in the 5th Police District, and when I left, I was left with the impression that you were an honorable man of a good integrity." I mean, and that single line right there, you were an honorable man of good integrity. I am greatly disappointed in your poor judgment in your decision to support the Civilian Review Board legislation.
So because you support a piece of legislation that is overwhelmingly supported by the African American community and individuals of goodwill and good conscience in South St. Louis, and you have poor judgment.
And not only that, I was left with the impression that not only that you have poor judgment, but you are not an honorable man of good character if you support that.
So you're no longer honorable and of good character.
That's right.
If you support this piece of legislation, which, of course, is ludicrous.
Well, also, it's threatening.
Yes.
It is absolutely a
threatening. Now, and this is, I mean, these letters are reasons why we need an oversight board, because look what the police do when a piece of legislation is coming down. They threaten. Not only, if they're threatening elected officials, what's happening to the people out there on the street?
And this is interesting. He points out the fact that he responded to numerous calls and some personal, you know, some calls for service, which is what he is.
What he's paid to do.
I mean, it's not like you did anything extra here. You know, you are
paid.
And we paid you. We pay more than a third of our general revenue goes to the police department. And here you have the nerve to talk about you responded to numerous calls. I mean, if it was just numerous calls in the time period that you were there,
that's your job. That's your job. Like, you're doing somebody a favor. And that, again, is the reason why we need a police oversight board, because this dude seems to think that he's doing folks a favor, and a favor, which means that if you're doing somebody of a favor, you have the right to do it. Or you don't have the right, you have the right to not do it. You ain't doing a favor, you're getting paid to do a job. And isn't that interesting, the mentality that they're bringing to this discussion, as if their job is a gift that they bestow upon us when they feel like it, and a gift to be withdrawn when they're mad at us.
I mean, first of all, and this arrogance is fueled by the fact that we don't have local control of our police department. Mm. I mean, that is what is at the crux of this very issue, is that we in the city of St. Louis and in Kansas City do not have local control of our police department. Because I would submit to you, Liz, that if we had local control of police department, I bet you
there wouldn't be no letter like
it. It wouldn't be any letters like this coming to members of the Board of Aldermen,
because they could cut their budget. They could do what they want to do to the two people that threatened them. I want to underscore this, and we have to take a break. The fact of the matter is that if they are threatening older people, elected officials, what's happening to the average Joe and Jane out there on the street? That's why we need oversight. That's why we have to take a break. This is an enhanced, this is an addition to Eye on the Lou. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. We'll be coming at you after this break. Stay with us.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Dublin. A report has been released by the Roman Catholic Archdiocese in Dublin that says there are 102 priests suspected of sexually or physically abusing over 300 children since 1940. This is the largest admission of this nature in Ireland. A government-appointed commission is expected to be named to investigate the history of the abuse. The Archdiocese says a two-year review of personnel files of some 2,800 priests over the last 60 years discovered that 8 priests in Dublin had been convicted of abuse, and 32 others have been sued for damages by over 100 victims, resulting in payouts by the church of $7 million. Another 40 cases are still unsettled, and there could be yet another 40 who have not yet been completely identified. And Dateline Miami. A 53-year-old woman in Palm Beach, Florida, is suing Walgreens drugstores because of some shocking comments her pharmacists wrote on the printout of her prescriptions. Janie Karp says when she got her medication to help her sleep, the word crazy was printed on the form reserved for patient information. There was also another printout on the form that said, quote, "She is really a psycho. Do not say her name too loud. Never mention her meds by names and try to talk to her." Karp said she was deeply humiliated by those comments and is now suing for defamation, negligent supervision, and emotional distress. This is your wake-up call global news update.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? That's right, that's right, that's right. Hometown Sears is having a hometown sale. Hometown celebration sale. 10% off of regular and sale prices. Absolutely everything that you want. We're talking about dishwashers. We're talking about stoves. We're talking about television sets. We're talking about DVD, DVR, everything that you need at your hometown Sears at 3425 Union. That's right, 3425 Union. Hometown celebration sale, Monday, March 13th.
only there. 10% off of regular and sale prices. Get to your hometown Sears, Jerome Williams, and celebrate Hometown Celebration Day, Monday, March 13th. Tell them I told you to.
Hi, this is Jamila Nasheed, candidate for state representative. Election time is in August, but tax time is now. So I have some very important information for our community. Did you know that under the Circuit Breaker Tax Credit Program, senior citizens and disabled veterans can receive a check up to $3,000 or more? Monies that can be used for the high cost of prescription drugs, high utility bills, and the rise in price of gasoline. For more information about the Circuit Breaker Tax Credit Program, call me at 409-5730 so that I can help you help yourself. If you have already filed your income taxes, don't worry. You still have time. Once again, call me, Jamila Nasheed, at 409-5730.
Paid for by citizens to elect Jamila Nasheed, State Representative for the 60th District. Felicia Brooks, Treasurer.
Science or religion? Republican or Democrat? Politics, education, crime? Or you just want to talk about Girl Scout cookies? What's your opinion? What's your solution? Tell me, Dave Linehan, on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU. Monday through Friday, 4 to 6.
You are invited to attend a forum examining the role of minorities in government and business. It takes place Wednesday, March 22nd at the University of Missouri St. Louis in the Century Room of the Millennium Center. Guest speakers include California Congressman Maxine Waters, Missouri State Senator Rita Hurd Davis of the 14th District, and WGNU Wake Up Call host Liz Brown. This national forum for black public administrators is presented in conjunction with the University of Missouri St. Louis and the Associated Black Collegians. Admission is free. Call 436-8721 for more information.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
It's not the big moon that excites me. The thrills and delights me. Oh no, yes, just the man is you.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to this addition to Eye on the Lou. I'm here with Irene J. Smith, and we're talking about the Police Oversight Board, and we're talking about the threatening letters that are being written to aldermen out there. And you wanted to underscore something?
Yeah, I mean, this is what kills me. There's a statement in here talking about how poorly written and researched this piece of legislation is, and that it was done without input or consultation from the police department, which is absolutely untrue.
And again, this is from Police Officer Joe Steiger. He's the recording secretary of the St. Louis Police Officers Association to Freeman Bosley.
I'm telling you, much credit is due to Alderman Terry Kennedy, who has shepherded this bill, and for more than 4 years, we're talking about 5-6 years, he has solicited input, has held meetings, even with the Justice Department, coming in from Kansas City, the community affairs officer there coming in along with the coalition, and he held a series of evening meetings
that the cops were invited to,
and did come to, and we had people from all over the country, you know, black, white, talking about their evolution of civilian review boards. And so the police department has had an opportunity, and police officers had an opportunity to participate.
Well, but I think it's I just want to underscore it in this way. It's an out and out lie for them to say in this letter that they have not had an opportunity to have input on that. That's an out and out outrageous lie.
Countless opportunities. And keep in mind that the hearings that Terry Kennedy held were hearings in the evening,
mm-hmm.
when hearings really ought to be held, where the citizens of this city would have a greater opportunity to participate. He held those hearings because I was a member of that committee.
I was there, and I attended those meetings.
And you put it out over the air. We had good attendance at those meetings, and police officers and representatives from the Police Officers Association attended some of those meetings and gave some testimony before
the Public Safety Committee. Yes, they did. And not only that, I want to underscore again, this is not an overnight thing. This has been going on for years. This is an effort over the course of years to get a piece of legislation. When you take that kind of time with one piece of legislation, you have offered everybody an opportunity to weigh in on this, so forth. And so, and this is the reason why we need oversight, because a recording secretary of the Cops Association and the predominantly white police officers association is telling, threatening older people and telling them lies not to, to vote against this bill.
Absolutely.
That's huge. Huge.
And it's
huge.
It also underscores the reason why we absolutely need local control of our police department, because if we had local control of our police department, this would not be an issue of this nature.
And let me read this really short letter and threatening letter, again, on the St. Louis Police Officers Association Fraternal Order of Police letterhead. It's a letter dated March 6th, and it's to Alderman Charles Quincy Troop. Dear Alderman Troop, thank you for your continued support of the men and women of the St. Louis Police Officers Association. We hope you will see fit to reconsider your vote regarding Board Bill 69, which authorizes the formation of a civilian review board. We will remember the position you have taken on this emotional issue. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's how they end it. That's how that, and this is signed by the president of the St. Louis Fraternal Order of Police. The one thing I want to put out here also, Irene, is that each one of these letters sent out to aldermen are specific for them. They have been crafted for, this isn't a form letter. So if black aldermen who have signed on to this have gotten these kinds of letters, these kinds of, imagine the specific, personalized, threatening letters that white aldermen are getting from the Police
Officers
Association.
And it's my understanding, at last count, Alderman Kennedy had about 18 votes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether he's going to have those same votes when the bill comes up for third reading and final passage on Friday.
Mm-hmm. And again, we're talking about men and women with guns threatening citizens, and not only threatening citizens with making threats to them, but also the threat of they're not going to do their job. Somehow they're not going to do what we pay them to do if they vote for this bill.
And
huge.
The letter to Alderman Blasey is even more ridiculous, because it says it was our understanding that you would not vote for this legislation. That's ludicrous. Alderman Blasey is a sponsor. He's a co-sponsor of the Civilian Review Board, as well as Alderman Troop is a co-sponsor of the Civilian Review Board, which has been the case that every African-American member of the Board of Aldermen is on as a co-sponsor of this particular legislation, like I said, that has been pending. Last year, Alderman Kennedy ended up putting it on the informal calendar again. You know, he has been working through this tirelessly, along with Jamal and them, Zaki and them, members of the Coalition Against Racism and Police Crimes and Repression. They have been working on this for years, and they have open and ask the police officers to come to the table, and they fail to do so because they, you know, it's like the arrogance. It's fueled by the arrogance. How dare you?
And it's also fear of what oversight does. Oversight shines a light on activity and makes people accountable for things. And here's one thing, a response that Alderman Quincy Troop had to the five-line letter that he got from the Police Officers Association. All I can say unequivocally that in my 24 years of traveling the state of Missouri, it is all too clear that one of the greatest impediments to an effective and efficient law enforcement in the city of St. Louis is, number one, the state control of the city's police department, and number two, insensitive and hateful policemen who causes racism to ooze from the cracks and crannies of every hole or crack in the St. Louis Police Department that saw fit to make him a sergeant, knowing what he represents, and to compound their lack of sensitivity. For the first time in the last 40 years of recruitment, they presented an all-white male class of recruits in the year 2005. They could not find one qualified white woman or one qualified black male in the entire metropolitan city area or within the county that had qualified police to be a qualified policeman in the police class of 2005. Let me say, with this being said, let me reiterate, I, too, was an elected official, and there is an oath that I took to support the Constitution and the United States of America, and that is what I will do. This is Liz Brown. We'll be back with Eye on the Lou and with Irene J. Smith. Stay with us.
We need local control.
You pull it all the way out. That's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that's the low knee.
hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you listen?
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. It wasn't too bad of a winter weather-wise for most of the country, and now the National Weather Service says it's official.
It was the fifth warmest winter on record, Daria. An average temperature nationwide of 36.3 degrees, 1.2 degrees above the mean. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration tells us most of that was due to a very balmy January. And that means we all saved some in heating bills. NOAA says residential energy demand is 11% below normal. And one more thing about this wacky winter, a late tropical storm, Zeta, at the end of December, the 27th named storm of the year. Daria?
ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey. President Bush will have to really search to find allies for his ports deal on Capitol Hill. A House committee has voted to block the plan to give control to a Dubai-owned company, and the Senate may not be far behind. Here's ABC's Jeff Morrell.
Last night's vote, a rare direct defiance of the White House, reflects that lawmakers on both sides of the aisle are emboldened by polls showing the vast majority of Americans object to the ports deal. As unpopular as it is, the White House insists Mr. Bush will veto any attempt to kill it. However, there may be enough opposition in Congress to override his veto if it were to come to that. Jeff Morrell, ABC News, Washington.
They say it started out as a joke, but you won't find many people in Alabama laughing at three college students who were charged with setting nine churches on fire. Matthew Cloyd, Lee DeBusk, and Benjamin Mosley are in federal custody. Two of the suspects were students at a Bible college in Alabama, and the school's president has offered to help those who were affected by the fires.
The entire community of Birmingham Southern College, students, faculty, and staff pledges to aid in the rebuilding of these lost churches through our resources.
This is ABC News.
If you're living in a space that's too small or too large or too old or just too ugly, here's what you do. Take a 2x4 to the problem, maybe some 2x6s. Heck, just take all your lumber and give it to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We'll design a home that fits your needs and your budget to a T. Call an AIA architect early, so your living space won't be too this or too that, but just right. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
This new Medicare business was pretty confusing to me. I was in Walmart the other day and asked the pharmacist about it. She told me Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies accept all Medicare plans. I just showed her my Medicare prescription drug card, and she filled all of my prescriptions. No hassle, no problem. It was just that easy. I've got better things to do than deal with confusing prescription details, so from here on in, I'm going to Walmart or Sam's Club pharmacy for my Medicare prescriptions.
Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite. Too late for a Chicago woman. She's suing an upscale hotel in New York's Catskills. Leslie Fox says she had a little unwanted company in her room, the blood-sucking insect. She said she was bitten so badly she needed to be treated with steroids.
I am left with evidence of the bite in the form of pigmentation scars all over my body.
The hotel offered her a few free nights stay. Fox says, see you in court. One of country music's biggest stars is not a bit happy with how the federal government has responded to Hurricane Katrina. Singer Tim McGraw and his wife, Faith Hill, actually two of Nashville's biggest stars, say they're embarrassed by what they've seen 6 months after the storm.
There is some unforgettable and unforgivable events that took place that could have changed the course of what happened after that hurricane.
If we can't handle it, turn it over to a private organization and let them handle it.
McGraw is a native of Louisiana. Hill is from Mississippi. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, there's still no word on the cause of a mobile home fire that claimed the life of a young boy in House Springs. 3-year-old Jacob Reynolds died Tuesday night in the fire in the Bear Creek Estate subdivision. Jacob's grandfather remains hospitalized with smoke inhalation. His grandmother has been released from the hospital. Two Jefferson County residents are dead after a head-on crash in central Missouri. The Missouri Highway Patrol reports that 55-year-old Laura Wisdom and 31-year-old Kelly Wisdom of Barnhart were killed yesterday morning when another driver crossed the center line and collided with them on Highway 42 in Miller County. The other driver was flown to a Springfield, Missouri hospital with serious injuries. The New Nurses Alliance of the Service Employees International Union is launching a campaign designed to bring nurses together to find solutions to the country's nursing shortage. Carolyn Dotson, a nurse at St. John's Mercy Medical Center and a member of the United Food and Commercial Workers Local 655, says the Value Care, Value Nurses campaign will bring nurses from unions all across the country together.
What we have decided to do is, rather than being opponents and thinking of each other as robbers from each other, we've decided, hey, you know, let's work together. Do something a little bit different in that we're not going to worry about who has who and who joins what group. We're going to worry about what is our agenda, and our agenda is good patient care.
The national initiative is designed to improve patient care and bring nurses back to the bedside. The goal is to make sure patients' needs are being met and strengthen the healthcare system. Finally this hour, a campaign by a well-known animal rights group is targeting KFC. Members of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals held a KFC Tortures Chicks protest yesterday outside of a KFC on South Grand in South St. Louis to urge the company to stop doing business with suppliers who practice abusive treatment to chickens. PETA member Lindsay Wright sported nothing but a yellow bikini and white fluffy boots to spread the message. This is the second protest PETA has held at this KFC location in less than a year. KFC declined to comment. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, tires are an important part of your vehicle. Through March, purchase 4 tires from your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer and receive 3 complimentary oil changes. Toyota, moving you forward. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed to eastbound traffic. Crews are performing maintenance work at this hour. Eastbound 270 between West Florissant and New Hallsbury. There's an accident that's been cleared. Westbound 44 from 109 all the way to Six Flags Allington. Look for a vehicle spun out in the right shoulder. Westbound 40 at Boone Bridge, look for an accident on the right shoulder. Westbound 70 at Riverview, there's an accident. Left lane is blocked. Eastbound 40 at Route N, look for an accident involving an overturned vehicle. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and 270, no problems there. Northbound 55 from Imperial Main all the way into 270 looks good. Northbound 270 from 55 to 44, look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason Road, look for slow traffic there as well. Eastbound 70 at Zumbel and 270 is running smoothly. Westbound 270 at 367 all the way into West Florissant, look for heavy volume going on there as well. The eastbound 70 from Bryan Road all the way into 79, look for slow traffic this hour. Eastbound 40 from Spady to Lindbergh is very heavy volume this hour. Eastbound 40 from McKnight to Hanley, look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 70 at Shreve and Grand, it is slow. Westbound 5570 from the exchange onto the PSB, look for bumper-to-bumper traffic. Westbound 64 from 25th to the 5570 split, look for slow traffic there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic into Missouri Bank is closed due to casino work, and that traffic is jamming back at 5570 at this hour. Also northbound Route 3 from Monsanto, those approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow traffic this hour. There's a whole lot of accidents, so slow down because it is wet outside. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. With your schedule, you rely on your car for a lot, so make sure it gets the maintenance it needs from your local Napa Auto Care Center. Napa, get the good stuff. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Breezy showers and thunderstorms this morning with locally heavy rain at times. Showers and thunderstorms likely by this afternoon as well. High in the lower 60s. Temperatures will be falling into the 50s by later on in the afternoon. This evening, breezy, colder. Showers likely in the evening, low in the lower 40s. Friday, partly sunny, high around 60. Friday evening, partly cloudy and early in the evening, becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low in the lower 50s. And moving on to Saturday, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers, the high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 54 degrees and rain. Lambert Field is reporting 56 and rain as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, help me understand. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, help me understand. For us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, that's the low knee.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
It's time now for Eye on the Lou. Redistricting, hand-picked school board members, up-and-coming elections, recalls, battle.
Welcome, 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 welcome. It's time for Eye on the Lou. I am Liz Brown, and I am here, as always, with Irene J. Smith. Irene J. Smith again, good morning.
Hey, good morning, St. Louis.
Good morning to everyone, and we have a full house this morning. Everybody's here this morning. We have
getting hot in here.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We have much, much, much to talk about. As all of you know, my passion, my heart, my issues are with the children and the city of St. Louis and the state of Missouri and the region. And as a result of that, we need to pay very, very, very close attention to the things that are going on that impact and affect our babies. And when we're taking a look at that, Irene J. Smith, we got to start at the top. We got to start in Jefferson City, don't we?
Oh, yes, we do. Well, yes, we do. Vouchers.
Vouchers.
Ouch.
Vouchers, vouchers, vouchers. And I think it's important, Irene, as whenever we discuss things, we always kind of like to do a historical perspective on this. We need to kind of track where we have been in order to explain where we are right now. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to introduce one of our guests that we have here in the studio with us. We have State Representative Maria Chappelle Nadal. Maria, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Bring the mic closer, a little closer to you there. Right there.
All right.
All right. Maria, I want to start with you because I want to start with the history of the assault of vouchers on the state of Missouri. Take us back a year or so.
Well, last year there was an interesting bill, House Bill 639, and the title of it was the Betty L. Thompson Charity Scholarship.
Sounds wonderful, doesn't it?
It sounds great. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that's my predecessor, and mm-hmm. I love her to death.
Mm-hmm.
However, this bill is very dangerous for our community
mm-hmm.
because what it would do is take our general revenue, take money from our general revenue, and redistribute it to private schools. And the idea or the perception that was handed out there is that it would help lower-income children, minority children. But what it really does is give a very few an opportunity to go to a private school, which may not necessarily help them educationally.
And also that there's another component to it as well. It's the fiscal component of it. To attach the word scholarship to it makes it sound like, okay, this is just an effort to help kids that don't have access to opportunities and education and resources. We're going to give them a scholarship. Well, it ain't a scholarship, and it's a big cost to the state of Missouri, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you know what? It really helps the corporations and individuals who are really rich out there. It's just to pay off for them. It's corporate welfare.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of a fiscal cost to the state of Missouri, do we have some kind of a number about how much money this program would cost the state of Missouri?
Yes, it would take out $40 million annually.
$40 million a year.
Per year.
And it would also give people the opportunity to just, people that are already in private schools, to fund their kids' education, wouldn't it?
Yep.
And that's something, Irene.
Oh, yes, it is. Maria, how do you respond to the fact that this would give people more choice? I mean, this will give them choice.
That's the argument.
And this is America, and we're all about choice.
Yeah, our founding fathers, the founding founders of this country, they moved here because they wanted choice in religion. And it's something that choice is coming up now. Well, you know, another thing that the founding fathers of this country also said is that every single child deserves a free education, a good education. And when people emphasize school choice, well, what they're really saying is that they don't mind putting a Band-Aid on the system. But what we in actuality need to do is focus on our schools and look at what we need to do. We have to have a comprehensive approach. And I think the best approach that we have right now is the example of Wellston, which is in my district.
Yeah.
They're coming out in the community. I mean, parents are involved, administrators are involved, teachers are involved, and it is the best example. It is the best example that any community can ever have. It's unfortunate that the bill last year, 639, was named after my predecessor, and the situation that we had last year is an inherited problem that I had, but with the new involvement from the new superintendent, from the state, from the community, from corporations, these folks have really taken their time and their effort to make a difference in this community, and those children understand that people are making an investment and they're trying to do their best and they are doing well.
And the other piece of this is when we talk about the issue of choice, it never comes down to choice for the kids that need it the most. What it comes down to, it gives a handful of children a choice to do more with what they already have.
Exactly.
And it's a typical way that they use our children. They hop up on the backs of children of African descent and ride them into issues that don't concern and don't impact and don't affect African children.
Exactly.
And Maria, this is not just a local issue, because even though there's tons of money being spent, and we're going to talk about who's bringing the money in to spend on this, this isn't something that's just happening in the state of Missouri, is it?
No, it's not.
It's a national issue.
Exactly.
And so you've brought some folks to talk about this from a national perspective. Would you introduce the other guests that we have here?
I will. We are honored today to have our state representative of the Missouri NEA, the Missouri Education Association, as well as the national president of the NEA, Reg Weaver. Our state president is Greg Jung. And they're here to talk about the state perspective as well as the national perspective.
Well, Greg, let's start national. Let's start national. Okay, let me start national, and then we'll come back to state, because I want to talk about the money that's being spent. I want you to weigh in on that. But let's start national with this. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Before you say anything, I just got a question for Liz. Liz, you started out, it's getting hot in here. What's the rest of the line? What's the next line?
Absolutely.
You talk about choice.
Mm-hmm.
It really is not a choice for the parents. When you think about it, let's say, for example, you have 750 slots and you have 1,000 applications.
Mm-hmm.
Who makes the choice?
There you go.
The parents do not get a chance to make the choice as to who goes into those slots.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as it relates to vouchers, you know, we know what it takes to make a great public school. Smaller class sizes, state-of-the-art technology, qualified and certified teachers.
Well-paid teachers.
Mm-hmm. Safe and orderly schools.
Mm-hmm.
Parental involvement. Counselors. Anything that takes away from that is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what vouchers do. You know, we look at this issue and we say, well, you know, what are parents going to say? Particularly minority parents.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is where the argument is being directed,
and that's who's being used to further this argument.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And minority parents, they want the same thing as all parents.
Mm-hmm.
For their children.
Mm-hmm.
They want their children to receive the best possible education, and if they feel as though I am not giving it to them in the public schools, then they're going to try to find anything that they feel is going to work for them. And so you have the slick, well-thought-out strategies used by people with millions and millions of dollars who go out into the communities, and I say prey on our communities, and say, well, you know, Reg in the public school, he's not doing the job. I got something for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that parent, wanting to have the best opportunity for their kid, they latch on to it.
That's right.
Don't know exactly what they're latching on to, except they think it's a better opportunity when they don't have the choice. And the cost is borne by them in many instances,
mm-hmm.
because the voucher money that they get, it's not going to cover transportation.
There you go.
It's not going to cover activities.
There you go.
It's not going to cover supplies. And in many instances, many of these parents are working two and three jobs trying to get ends or make ends meet. So what do?
It's also like preying on their hope. It's preying on their hope and their desire that, okay, I want something good for my child. I'm going to get something good for my child. So if they're telling me that there's hope in these vouchers because I want a great education for my child, I'm going to go with my hope, and I'm going to hope that this is the thing. But it turns out that our children are just petri dishes for people to experiment on.
You're absolutely right. But that hope is only as long as you do what they say
mm-hmm.
needs to be done in the school.
Absolutely.
Because if, in fact, you send your kid to that school, and if, in fact, that kid starts to act out, if that kid doesn't perform as he or she is supposed to, if, in fact, the parent does not offer the help and the support as the school would want, and if, in fact, they don't pay some of the money that is, you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
The kid is going right back to me in the public school. When you've taken my money, you've taken just about everything that I need in order to be successful. So what I say, Liz and Irene, when people say, well, what do you want for these kids? See, my message is the same, regardless of where I am. My message is, I want the same thing for the kids in Wellston as the most richest suburban area around in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. And that's really another entire issue, the whole funding.
The whole funding issue is another entire issue. And also this issue of parental involvement is a very important piece. So if your baby is going to school out in Wazoo, and you're still working two or three jobs. Mm-hmm. Your ability to participate at their school is even more is greatly reduced as a result of that. The other thing that interests me in the Missouri piece, and I know we're going to get to that, is that these schools are not subject to the same rigorous requirements that public schools are in terms of testing.
Absolutely.
But yet you want our public dollars.
That's right. They don't have to have the same kinds of criteria to be met. They don't have to meet the same standards. You don't even have to be a qualified, certified teacher.
That's right.
According to Missouri law. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to have a standardized curriculum.
And let me ask you this. With regard to the bill that they attempted to pass last year, Maria, and they were not successful, and thanks in large part to your hard work and your efforts and your strategy, my question to you is this: did the schools have to keep the students for any period of time before they got the money, so they could keep the kids for a couple of months, kick the kids out, and keep the money?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's almost like what's going on in Wellston right now with schools wanting to, the babies now that want to come back to Wellston that are in these other school districts, the other school districts don't want to let them go. And it's not because they love them.
It's the money.
It's because of the money that's attached to them.
It's interesting because in Wellston, state funding is about 57%. And it's very different from other communities because it's such a low-income community and there's not the tax base that you need. There's a higher rate of money coming from the state. Now, University City, which is also my district, they only have 24% of state funding. Mm. So a student from Wellston gets, at this current time, more than a student from University City or from Chesterfield. And so
there's gold in them.
A larger amount of money per pupil for a Wellston student because of the very low tax base. Mm. And so that's lucrative to a lot of these school districts.
And I submit to you that if the money wasn't there, we would see what's happening right now with the DSEG program. Oh, y'all need to take your babies back because the well is run dry. We've built all our libraries. We've built all our buildings. We're done. So y'all need to come get these babies.
See, right. we were in the Wellston district yesterday.
They're wonderful.
We had a chance to talk to a class. And you know kids. Mm-hmm. See, I'm a teacher. Greg's a teacher. And when we walk into these classrooms, you have to know how to be able to deal with these young folks.
Mm-hmm.
These young folks, they don't care about me being the president of 2.8 million members. They don't care about Greg being the president of Missouri NEA. All they want to know is there somebody here that cares about me?
That's right.
And when we walked in there, you know, you got to get their attention.
Mm-hmm.
And when we walked in there, we didn't have their attention as much as we would like to have. But being the teachers that we are, we were able to, by the time we left out, they were asking, well, can you come back and be my teacher?
See,
you know?
See.
And we allowed them to do things that often adults don't allow kids to do. Mm-hmm. And that is, we didn't talk to you, now you talk to us.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good.
You know what? You can learn a lot by asking kids to talk to you.
Absolutely.
And you can learn a lot by the questions that they ask.
That's right.
And I am going to take all over the country, and indeed all over the world, one question that this kid left us with.
How old was he?
And he was an eighth grade graduate.
Okay.
Graduating this spring.
Uh-huh.
And the one question is, why is it that we are not able to have the ability to take French? Why can't we have technology in our schools?
Hmm.
He turned and asked the principal. Principal didn't have an answer. What are we supposed to tell those kids? That a voucher's going to do it for you?
That's right.
What does it for these kids is for them to have access the same way that kids in the richest suburbs have. And when you talk about vouchers, you think about it. And hopefully your listening audience will think about it. Where are vouchers being proposed?
In the darkest school districts all over this country.
Mm-hmm. Rest my case.
Okay. And Greg, we have a couple of minutes before we have to take a break, but I want to talk to you about the campaign or ideas like this are not successful. Ideas like this are not effective. Ideas like this will not land somewhere unless there's a great deal of money behind them. It's a campaign. Last year, we had that campaign here in the state of Missouri. Where'd the money come from that?
Well, you know, Liz, that's really interesting. We discovered after the 2004 election was that a group from outside Missouri came in with almost $500,000, and they dumped it into 33 legislative races in our state because they thought, last minute, mm-hmm. that they could come in with their tricks and they could try to influence politics in Missouri to get vouchers because they wanted to drain the money away from Missouri to the private schools, to the religious schools, and we know that that is not the right thing for our kids.
And then also, not only did they dump the money into legislative races, and Greg, let me ask you this. Is it solely because they are trying to help religious schools, solely because they're trying to help private schools, or do the people that are funding this election, are they businesses that also get a great tax benefit out of funding this and out of this legislation passing?
Oh, absolutely. The way the legislation is set up in Missouri, it is a tax credit. That means you donate to this cause, and you get to deduct the amount right off the bottom line of your taxes. It's not even like your home mortgage, you know. It comes right off the bottom line. And it's so brazen this year that the two bills, one in the House and one in the Senate, call for a 100% tax credit.
Get out of here.
100%.
It's worse than last year.
It's worse than last. Well, what else gets 100% credit like that? Hmm. What else does?
Children don't get. Dependents don't get 100%.
And we have to take a break. This is Eye on the Lou. We're talking about vouchers, and I'm here with Irene J. Smith. And before we get to the break, I want to say this about one of our sponsors here. Listen, seniors, if you're looking for a place to go, I know the place for you to hang out, San Francisco Temple Multiplex, 305341 Emerson. You can exercise 3 days a week, monthly screenings, guest speakers, arts and crafts, free hot lunch, and much, 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 much more. Seniors, you're looking for a place to kick it? Get on over to San Francisco Temple Multiplex. Kicking it is a good thing. Why don't you give them a call at 383-4863. Ask for Yvonne Henderson and tell them that you heard it on Eye on the Lou. We're taking a break.
We need to go away. Morning, St. Louis, 32 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. I-70 reversible lanes are closed to eastbound traffic. Crews are performing maintenance there. Westbound 70 at Riverview, there's an accident that's been cleared. Westbound 40, there's an accident reported involving an overturned vehicle that's around Highway N. Westbound 44 from Grand to Jefferson, look for an accident reported as well. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler all the way in the Lindbergh looks good. Northbound route or northbound 55 from Virginia back to 270 is on move. Northbound 270 from 55 to 44, look for stop and go traffic. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor to Mason Road, look for slow traffic there as well. Westbound 270 at Bell Fountain and West Florissant, look for heavy volume going on there as well. Eastbound 70 from Bryan to 79, look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 40 from Ballast to Hanley, look for slow traffic as well. Northbound 55 from Union to River de Pere, look for slow traffic. Westbound 40 at McCausland and Hanley, it is a slow go as well. Southbound 170 from Club Tower onto the approaches of 40, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 70 at McKelvey and St. Charles Rock Road, it is stacking up there as well. Westbound 5570 from Illinois 203 onto the PSB. Look for bumper-to-bumper traffic. Westbound 64 from Illinois 111 all the way into 5570. Look for no problems to report this hour.
Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Missouri Bank. Look for that to be closed in the right lane due to casino work, and it's jammed back to 5570 this hour. Northbound Route 3 at Monsanto and the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic as well. And Route N at Cedarfield in front of Francis Howell School District is a report of an injury accident. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, tires are an important part of your vehicle. Through March, purchase 4 tires from any St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer and receive 3 complimentary oil changes. Toyota, moving you forward. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Breezy, showers and thunderstorms likely this morning, heavy rain if possible, and it'll continue through this afternoon with a high in the lower 60s. This evening, look forward to breezy, colder, showers likely with a low in the lower 40s. Friday, partly sunny with a high around 60. Friday evening, partly cloudy, becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low in the lower 50s. And then on Saturday, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers with a high around 70. Currently, we have rain in 54. Lambert Field is reporting rain and 56. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Seniors looking for something to do? Try the San Francisco Temple Multiplex Senior Center, 5341 Emerson, 383-4863. Table tennis, exercise, free hot lunch. Call Yvonne Henderson, 383-4863. San Francisco Temple Multiplex Senior Center.
Hi, folks. This is Decent Guy Dunn. Join me at midnight every Monday through Friday right here on WGNU. Yes, you heard right. Every night at midnight, Monday through Friday. Congress isn't the only group of people up at midnight, don't you know? Now the conspiracy hunter is flying under cover of darkness with night vision at the ready to uncover what's going on in Washington and in world capitals and to discuss it with you. It's information that matters to all of us. Remember, join me at midnight Monday through Friday for The Conspiracy Hunter with Decent Guy Don Griffin on AM 920 WGNU, the station with something for everyone, even at midnight. See you then.
Hi, this is Jamila Nasheed, candidate for state representative. Election time is in August, but tax time is now, so I have some very important information for our community. Did you know that under the Circuit Breaker Tax Credit Program, senior citizens and disabled veterans can receive a check up to $3,000 or more? Monies that can be used for the high cost of prescription drugs, high utility bills, and the rise in price of gasoline. For more information about the Circuit Breaker Tax Credit Program, call me at 409-5730 so that I can help you help yourself. If you have already filed your income taxes, don't worry. You still have time. Once again, call me, Jamila Nasheed, at 409-5730.
Paid for by citizens to elect Jamila Nasheed, State Representative for the 60th District. Felicia Brooks, Treasurer.
The champions are coming. Direct from the 2006 Winter Games in Torino, it's John Hancock, Champions on Ice. Don't miss your chance to see all the newly crowned world and national champions featuring Michelle Kwan, Sasha Cohen, Johnny Weir, plus Irina Slutskaya, Evgeny Plashenko, Stefan Lombiev, Kenneth Velvet, and Ben Augusto, and many more champions. You've seen them winning gold, silver, and bronze, world championships, and national titles. Now, see the greatest figure skaters in the world live. The music, the lights, and the big production numbers that make Champions on Ice the only show to see. The champions are coming. John Hancock, Champions on Ice. Treat yourself and your family to this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see the best figure skaters in the world. Coming to Savage Center, Sunday, June 18th at 3 p.m. Call 314-241-1888 for tickets today.
Looking for something fly to wear? Hood Goods. Open Monday through Sunday at 12100 Bell Fountain. That's Bell Fountain and Parker Roads. They have Apple Bottoms. They have Timberlands. They have everything and great T-shirt deals. Give them a call at 438-8400. 438-8400. Hood Goods.
What you need to know when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Well- Welcome back. Welcome back to Eye on the Loo. I'm Liz Brown, and I'm here with Irene J. Smith. Irene, welcome back.
Oh, we're back.
We're back, and we're talking about vouchers. And Irene, you were talking about, we were having a discussion off the air about some of the legislation that is pending in terms of the changes that folks want to make in order to ease this voucher piece to us in the city of St. Louis, in the state of Missouri, and in the nation. Talk to us about some of that.
We were discussing the fact that no testing. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be illegal to require a map test, so to speak, and 100% to what, religious schools?
Actually, this is an initiative petition that they're out collecting signatures on right now, mm-hmm. and it would take all of the funding away from the local school district
exactly.
and put it in the hands of the state government.
Right.
And if you send your kids to a public school, you get 100% of the amount they set aside. If you want to send them to a private or religious school, you get 75%. It totally is over $3.5 billion in cost. That's a billion with a B. And it totally ties the hands of the local school districts.
Exactly.
And the other piece of this is what happened legislatively last year, Maria. Tell us what you all did in order to, if this bill wanted to pass, y'all put some conditions on it. And tell us about some of the things that people said when you put those conditions on it. And tell us about what happened to the bill after you put those conditions on it.
Oh, it was great. There were four amendments. What actually Irene pointed out, the map testing, and that killed the bill.
What were the four amendments that you put on it?
Well, one of the amendments was that the kids who go to private school would have to take the MAP test.
All right.
They would have to undergo the same standards as any other child. The other amendment, which Sarah Lampe put up, would be that all schools, public schools, would have to be funded at 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, our public schools are being funded at about 85%, which is unfortunate, and we need to be at 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another amendment that was put on there.
Okay, and so let's just talk about the making the school, private schools, mm-hmm. have to take the same tests and be responsible as the same as public schools are. That seems fair, doesn't it?
It seems fair.
It seems awfully fair. If our babies are going to be denied money, if our babies are going to be denied opportunities based upon these test scores, then why not have all babies subject to that? What was the response from the private schools?
Well, they did not want that.
Why?
And specifically, some of the religious schools, they don't want that because they don't want state interference. They do not want state interference.
I submit to you that they don't want it because they don't want the world to see how their babies test on those tests either. And they don't want the world judging their babies. And I'm with them. I mean, I don't want our babies judged by them either. But I submit to you that the reason they don't want it is because they don't want their kids to have, they don't want the world to see how they're doing.
But the assault on the public schools is because of performance on the MAP test.
There you go.
So you're saying I'm going to take the money because you're not doing well on the MAP test, but we're going to shift the money over here. But you're not going to be subject to the MAP test.
Well, that's the problem with the legislation from last year, the legislation this year. Number one, there is no governmental oversight from the very beginning. When these tax credits are given out by this third-party administrator, it's certified by the state, but there's no oversight.
Mm-hmm.
So when there is a child who's receiving this tax credit, I mean, no one says to the school, okay, what was the GPA of this kid?
How'd you
do? What is this kid's performance? I mean, there's some things in this legislation, for example, where a child who has a parent who's in prison could qualify to get a tax credit. Now, who's to say that a child whose parent is in prison can do better in a private school than a public school? I think that is kind of some social maneuvering. I think it's a community that makes a difference in a child's life, and it should not be a matter of public or private. It's the community who works together to make any child do better.
And you raise a good point, and let's talk about this. There seems to be a couple of assaults going on with this type of legislation, and one is the assault on writing, saying that they're doing this for children of color when you're really doing it for businesses to give them big breaks. But also there's an assault on
public education. Then the assault is that, well, you know, obviously if you go to a public school, you're going to be getting less than you get at a non-public school. So we have that going on.
You know, there is no documented research that says that public school, that private schools are doing that much better than public schools. In fact, I think if you compare apples and apples, I think you will find that the public schools do just as well
or better
than the private schools. But what is happening, you have people that compare schools that don't have the resources, that don't have the qualified teachers, that the schools are not safe and orderly, there's not adequate and equitable funding, and those comparisons are made with schools that have everything, all right? And so it's really not a fair comparison, all right? So that's the reason why when people say, well, what do you want for these schools? I want the same thing. I want the same thing for every child, regardless of where they are.
And if you have to, if our babies have to be tested, then all babies have to be tested.
If everybody wants, if people want to have accountability, that's fine. We have no problem with accountability. But don't try to hold me accountable when you don't give me what I need in order to be able to do and give, as you say, these babies what they need to have.
Exactly. And also, don't hold me accountable when you're not holding somebody else accountable.
That
is
true.
Because if accountability is test score results, MAP test score results, then everybody needs to be held accountable.
But here's something that's very interesting. We are caught up in outputs. An output for us in the system, the public school system, is a test score.
That's right.
If, in fact, your output is not good, then you are not performing. And so I say, okay, hold me to and hold me accountable for an output, but also give me the inputs. And as long as they can keep the public talking about only outputs and not inputs, then the public will not know exactly what's going on. And by inputs, I'm talking about adequate and equitable funding.
Right.
I'm talking about teachers that are qualified and certified. I'm talking about parental involvement and safe and orderly schools. And you will also find that in many instances, and Irene and Liz, I've tested this across the country, in many instances what we're finding is that many parents are not necessarily pulling their kids out of school because the schools are not performing. One of the reasons why they pull their kids out is because they feel as though the school is not safe and orderly.
Exactly.
And so I'm saying people know that.
Exactly.
So if people know it, why is it that they don't do something to make it possible for these kids to go to a school, for the teachers and support staff, and for the parents and administrators to be able to go into a school and not have to worry about whether or not they're going to be safe?
And, well, I think one of the reasons that it doesn't happen is because they don't see all children as valuable. They don't see all children as valuable.
Then, Liz, we have to stop hating ourselves. We have to come to the point whereby we have to convince and work with our communities to let our communities know that our children are important, that they are important.
That all communities see all of our children as valuable.
And the policymakers, because it makes it extremely difficult if I'm only working with the kids and not work with the community and not work with the parents. So we can do this.
All right, and we have to take a break here. Before we take a break, I want to let everybody know about another one of our sponsors, Hood Goods. That's right, all of the fly clothes, whether you're looking for Apple Bottoms, Echo Red, Girl Bod, Timberland, T-shirts. Look, go on over to 12100 Bell Fountain. That's Bell Fountain and Parker, Monday through Sunday. You got a question, you got a comment, you want to ask them something, give them a call at 438-8400. That's 438-8400. Hood Goods. That's where your babies want to shop. Get them there. We're taking a break.
Wake-up call, global news update. Dateline, Washington. past wake-up call guest Larry Johnson, a former CIA officer for over 20 years, says there is credible evidence that people having ties to terrorist groups have found a place to hide in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates over the past several months. Johnson says the three top ports in the world for smuggling, counterfeit, and contraband activity are Hong Kong, Dubai, and Panama. And Dubai Ports World, the company President Bush wants to allow to run six American port operations, runs two of those top three. Johnson now works for a company that has been investigating port operations in Dubai in connection with a federal racketeering lawsuit. He says his company has found that products such as cigarettes and electronics are smuggled out of Europe and the U.S., head to Panama, and then are shipped to ports in Dubai. There have been other products that have been smuggled through Dubai and wound up in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, and Iran. Some of that other stuff is the nuclear technology that's now in Iran, which the United States says it's concerned about. Johnson says the same people who own Dubai Ports World are not the same people in the UAE whom President Bush says are helping in the fight against terrorism. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
That's right, that's right. That's where you go. You go to your hometown Sears. Right now they're having a hometown celebration day, Monday, March 13th. Only 10% off of regular and sale prices. That's right. Right here in your neighborhood, you don't have to take a bank loan to get to the mall. You have a Sears right here at 3425 Union. That's right, Sears. Visit their hometown celebration day, Monday, March 13th. 10% off of regular and sale prices. And when you get to the Sears at 3425 Union, tell them I told you to.
Hey, WGNU listeners, this is Keith Gray from Higher Ground. You can hear me from 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. I look forward to talking to you folks.
Seniors looking for something to do? Try the San Francisco Temple Multiplex Senior Center, 5341 Emerson, 383-4863. Table tennis, exercise, free hot lunch. Call Yvonne Henderson, 383-4863, San Francisco Temple Multiplex Senior Center.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's go take on the day.
Looking for something fly to wear? Hood Goods. Open Monday through Sunday at 12100 Bell Fountain. That's Bell Fountain and Parker Roads. They have Apple Bottoms. They have Timberlands. They have everything and great t-shirt deals. Give them a call at 438-8400. Hood Goods.
The people, the issues affecting your life. Right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to Eye on the Lou. I'm here with Irene J. Smith, and we're talking about vouchers. And one of the things I want to talk about, because this is so important in the state of Missouri, that there is a petition drive. And Greg, you were talking about the petition piece of this. T- Tell us some of the components of this petition, because people are going to be coming up to citizens out on the street because this is not on the ballot yet. They need a certain amount of signatures. And I submit to you that they're going to come to people on the street and say, this is for education. You want more money for your kids for education? Sign this petition. But let people make people aware of what, if this issue gets on the ballot, what it's going to do to the state of Missouri.
Well, it absolutely forbids testing in private and religious schools that our public money will be going to with this petition, with this
initiative. Absolutely forbids it.
It forbids it. And obviously,
but they would get our money.
They would get our money, and then they say, "But you can't test us. You can't hold us to the same standards that you hold public schools to."
Yes, forbids testing.
It forbids it.
Forbids.
I'm not mistaken.
No, it forbids it.
But
then we would have to. The public school kids would still have to be tested.
Absolutely.
And still held accountable for
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
And then they do something else. Talk to us about that.
Well, I tell you, in the petition, they call for a lot of things. One of them is the separation of church and state. Obviously, if they're giving
not
public
from state
dollars,
money. They'll call for a separation of church and state for state money.
It's taking public dollars and putting it into religious purposes and private schools. That is unconstitutional right now. Well, this provision and another one that goes with it will absolutely change our Constitution so it can take public dollars and give it to whomever they want. We don't believe that that's the right thing to do.
Of course not. And the other piece of it is talk to us about the lottery money. What's going to happen with the lottery money?
Yes, it also takes the lottery money that now is used to help fund education, and it takes it and spreads it out so kids in private schools will get some of that lottery money too.
Break it down, Greg. What's the breakdown of the money?
It'll be divided on a per-pupil basis. So they'll take all the pupils in the state, and if you are a private school or religious school, you get those lottery dollars based on the number of students that you have.
Outrageous. Outrageous. And Maria, talk to us about the legislative support about this, because this is a scary, scary, scary component. I'm seeing people that absolutely should not be supporting this, but there's a whole lot of money coming in for this.
Absolutely. First of all, your local influence would be the host of Donnybrook, Marty Dugan et al. And
who said he'd rather die than have me on that show, but that's another
Well, you know, he's been pushing this for decades now. And maybe he's fed up with Jane Cunningham, or maybe he's fed up with the support that the pro-education people have. But he, as well as your Walmart heirs, as well as your All Children Matter groups that are pushing vouchers throughout this country, are supporting this legislation.
And they're supporting, they're dumping money into legislators' costs all over black and white legislators.
Absolutely. We have lost, as Democrats, and I'm a good Democrat, a brown dog Democrat, I'd like to say, we have lost as Democrats at least 6 seats in the last 2 years because of the investment of All Children Matter. All Children Matter,
it should really be called Money Matters, because that's what it's about, is getting the money.
Yeah, or only a select children matter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that gets to another issue. Really, if we open up this whole voucher conversation, open up some chapters in the state constitution, what it really does is allow a full-fledged program to go into effect. Now, and that's what we call a phase-in. Mm. Last year, when I attended an event in my district, Marty Dugan was there, and he handed out a book, How to Design a Voucher. In it, it has this whole chapter in it, I think it's page 70 and 71, in fact, how to implement a voucher. And it starts off, the first paragraph is phase-in. The phase-in is the state tax credit, and that's what we are undergoing right now.
And what's interesting is that there's a person that's running for the St. Louis Public Schools right now that came up and testified on behalf of this wicked bill last year, Jim Buford. He came up and testified, did he not?
Yes.
All right, he did testify to that, and that's one of the scary, scary things about what's going on here, is where assaults are being made on all different levels, it's like a chess game, moving people into the positions to get these things and make these things happen.
Exactly. In University City last year, in our school board race, We had, I think, three seats open. There were four people who were running. And at the very end, as I was, it's very, very strategic here. As I'm killing this bill in Jefferson City, these folks decided, well, we're going to hit her at home. This is what they decided to do. They decided to run a pro-voucher candidate. That candidate only lost by 54 votes.
Mm.
54 votes. Got money from who knows where. Mm. Well, we know where.
We know exactly. All children matter. All children
54 votes.
There is a reason why they say the phrase, all politics is local. It starts here and it works its way up. You got to get your chess pieces in place.
Mm. Who are local legislators that support this?
Well, there is Rodney Hubbard. There's Ted Hoskins.
Money.
But we really need to start focusing on the Black Caucus right now.
Absolutely. Money. And check people's checkbooks about how much money that they've gotten from these folks. We're taking a break. We're coming to the top of the hour. I want to thank everybody, but we'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Liz Brown. I on the Lou. Irene J. Smith is still going to be here with us.
I think so.
All right. Let's do this. We're taking a break. Stay with us.
Shot and was killed tonight. Yeah. I will never say that progress has been made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Alden.
Dubai is determined that they are not going to represent a threat. They're far more interested in making money than inflicting misery.
Virginia Congressman Jim Moran, one of just two members of the House Appropriations Committee who voted not to block a plan to give a Dubai company control of major U.S. ports. ABC's Ann Compton says he's definitely in the minority.
Today, President Bush faces rebellion, and the White House is pleading for time. Last night in the House, and possibly today in the Senate, wildly popular amendments blocking Dubai control of six U.S. ports are on a fast track. While the president stands by his pledge to veto such legislation, it might be attached to money for Iraq or to lobbying reform, two items very tough for the president to knock out. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
The president had more luck with Congress where the Patriot Act was concerned. Today he signs a renewed version of the anti-terror bill into law. Three Alabama college students are in federal custody. They are charged in connection with nine church fires in that state. A judge will decide tomorrow if Matthew Cloyd, Lee DeBusk, and Benjamin Mosley will stay in jail until their trial. Governor Bob Riley.
It's a good day when we can tell the people of Alabama that we believe this is an isolated incident. We don't think that there is any type of conspiracy against organized religion, against the Baptist, against religious beliefs in particular.
The students say they allegedly burned the churches as a joke. Well, there's peace again in the NFL. The owners okayed a players' union proposal that extends their collective bargaining agreement for six more years. And just in time, says reporter Bob Glauber.
They really face the possibility of a lot of problems down the road, a work stoppage of some kind in 2008, whether it was a lockout or not, decertification of the union. These were all bad things that could have happened. Obviously, they avoid those things, and that's great news for both sides.
This is ABC News.
Top three reasons my feet are happy. Number three, I got new carpet. Really, really soft carpet. Number two, I didn't have to walk around a million stores to get something you need. And number one, they gave me 10% off. So I gave my feet a new pair of shoes.
Right now at the Home Depot Spring Flooring Event, get 10% off all installed flooring. Plus, all area rugs are 20% off. Hurry in. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through 329 in U.S. only. See store for license numbers.
When my baby left for college, I took some classes of my own.
That's right. Turn.
Dance classes. That's when I started needing a pain reliever for my sore legs. Then I upgraded my computer and had to get a headache medicine, too. For every new pain, I had a different pain reliever. But now I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt. And nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed. Compared to OTC pain relievers.
A pilot, a nurse, and a paramedic have been killed in Hawaii. Officials say they were on an air ambulance plane that crashed into a BMW dealership parking lot. The plane was supposed to land at a nearby airport. No one on the ground was hurt. It can smooth the lines on your forehead, and now doctors say a popular cosmetic treatment can take a lot of pain off of your brain. Here's ABC's John McKenzie.
37-year-old Martha Fritz suffered migraines most of her life. Then she entered a migraine study, getting Botox injections every few months.
You can concentrate better. You enjoy your family better. You can schedule things.
A study about to be published shows Botox is 80 to 90% effective in so-called imploding headaches, patients who report a squeezing or crushing sensation on the scalp, as opposed to those where pressure feels like it's building inside the head. It's estimated about a third of migraine sufferers have these imploding headaches and could be good candidates for Botox therapy. John McKenzie, ABC News, New York.
And I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, an Alton man remains hospitalized after allegedly killing his wife and then turning the gun on himself. 46-year-old Glenn Lacey is reported to be in critical condition. Police say Lacey fatally shot his estranged wife, 50-year-old Barbara Lacey, at their home in the 600 block of East 5th Street Tuesday evening before shooting himself. The couple had reportedly been in divorce proceedings. Shrewsbury police are still looking for a driver in an accident near Interstate 44. The driver crashed and overturned on the railroad tracks near I-44 and Jamison early yesterday morning, but when emergency crews arrived on the scene, the driver was nowhere to be found. The accident may have been a result of rain-slicked roads. A local lawmaker is sponsoring a bill designed to improve health care services for rural Missourians. State Senator Pat Dougherty's bill would authorize advanced practice registered nurses to prescribe certain controlled substances, a practice that is already legal in 47 other states. Dougherty says giving APRNs the authority to prescribe more medicines will improve the delivery of health care in rural areas where there is a shortage of doctors. Finally this hour, former Health and Human Services Secretary Tommy Thompson is calling the new Medicare Part D prescription drug plan a success, despite the confusion.
We're having to interact with all different states with their different computers and different eligibilities. It's very confusing. There's no question about it. But each day, we're making progress, evidenced by the fact that we have 25 million people that have signed up and are enrolled in Medicare Part D. And we are expecting to get to 30 million before May 15th.
So far, 123,000 Missourians have enrolled in the program. The enrollment deadline is May 15th. Call 800-MEDICARE for more information. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. With your schedule, you rely on your car for a lot, so make sure it gets the maintenance it needs at your local Napa Auto Care Center. Napa, get the good stuff. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Southbound 55 at Peewee and McNutt, there's a report of an accident with lane blockage. The 70 reversible lanes are closed to eastbound traffic, and that has performance, or they're doing performing maintenance work there. Eastbound 44 at Chrysler and 270, look for heavy volume going on there. Northbound 270 from 55 to 44, look for stop and go traffic. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor all the way into Mason, look for slow traffic in the right lane, then slow all the way through 270 at this hour. Eastbound 70 from Cave Springs all the way into the Blanchette Bridge looks good. Westbound 270 at Bell Fountain and West Florissant, look for slow traffic there as well. The eastbound 70 from Bryan Road to Mid Rivers Mall, look for stop and go traffic due to a minor accident on the shoulder before Mid Rivers. Eastbound 40 from 270 to Big Bend, look for stop and go traffic.
westbound 40 at the Sign Center, look for Hanley, all the way in through Hanley, look for slow traffic as well. Southbound 170 at Brentwood and 40, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Westbound 5570 from Illinois 111 to the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow traffic. Westbound 64 from Illinois 111 through the 5570 split, look for slow traffic as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Missouri Bank, look for it to be closed in the right lane due to casino work, and that traffic jams back to the 5570 split. Northbound Illinois Route 3 at Queenie and the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow traffic as well. Gravelway at Lindbergh and 270, there's a report of an accident in northbound McCausland between Manchester and 40. Look for slow traffic due to possible signal problems going on there. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, tires are an important part of your vehicle. Now through the end of March, purchase four tires from any St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer and receive three complimentary oil changes. Toyota, moving you forward. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, breezy showers and thunderstorms this morning. Look forward to heavy rain at times with showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon, high in the lower 60s. Temperatures will be falling into the 50s by the afternoon. For this evening, colder showers likely in the evening with a low in the lower 40s. Friday, partly sunny with a high around 60. Friday evening, partly cloudy in the evening, becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low in the lower 50s. And on Saturday, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 54 degrees and some rain showers. Lambert Field is reporting 56 and some showers as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is one of those eye on the loo day. Woo! Woo! Welcome back. We got to stop laughing because everybody is not in on our joke. Okay,
right.
So we need to talk about Eye on the Loo and what we're talking about, and then this extended show that we are doing here today, because this is such a serious issue, because this is such an important issue, and because this is an impending issue, this issue of vouchers in our schools, vouchers in our state, and vouchers in our country. We decided to extend Eye on the Loo a little bit longer, to at least to 8:30 this morning, so that we can finish this conversation and to give people a heads up on this issue of what they need to watch for, what they need to look for, and what they can actually do. And Irene J. Smith, welcome back, and thank you for staying with us for additional time.
I'll be late. I have a breakfast meeting, but they're listening, so they know.
Okay. All right. And Maria, we were talking on our way out about what's going on in Jefferson City to allow this legislation to get passed, and I would really like to just try to underscore for people the amounts of money that are going into the efforts to keep this issue alive. We're not talking about chump change here.
Oh, no, not at all. You know, this is a wonderful opportunity for those people who have a lot of interest in just getting paid off. This is a great opportunity for them,
mm-hmm.
because there are people who are willing to pay them off.
Mm-hmm.
There was a meeting about a month ago with a representative who is a Democrat from Kansas City. He was hosted by a great group of people, including Peter Kinder. Mm-hmm. And they said, hey, we'll give you any amount of money you need for your campaign.
Mm.
And this is what this representative told me.
Mm.
Peter Kinder, our lieutenant governor, who has a personal interest in this matter, sat down with a group of people from All Children Matter and other organizations out of from everywhere around the country, sat down with this representative and said, you know what? We'll help you out. We'll help you out on your campaign. So they're trying
and not
to.
Just, I mean, not we're not talking about a little bit of help. We will make it happen. It's basically
thousands
what they're saying.
Thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars are going into these races. Now, what they're doing is that they're picking one by one, going to legislators, and specifically going to Black caucus members, one by one, and trying to buy them off. And let me tell you something. I'm going to get on one of my rant and raves here. As members of the Black community, we are not holding our elected officials as accountable as we need to. It is a shame that there are things that are going on in Jefferson City and people don't have any idea. They don't ask. They don't question whatsoever. I think it's very healthy to ask questions and offer debate.
Yeah. All right, if you're the citizen out here, okay, you're the citizen out here, you don't have time to drive up to Jefferson City to ride shotgun and to follow what's going on with the legislators. So, but the legislators do come home.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And people do listen to this show.
Absolutely.
So tell them, Maria, tell them some questions that they should ask their legislators about this issue to hold them accountable.
How did you vote last year? How did you vote on those amendments last year that would institute vouchers? What's your stance on vouchers? Have you received any money from these voucher people? We have a mayoral race in University City right now. The person who I am not supporting has received money from voucher folks. Mm. In fact, Joe Adams received $300 from Ted Hoskins, who is the champion.
Well, no. Tell folks what Ted Hoskins' title is.
State representative.
No, in the Black Caucus.
Chairman.
He is the chairman of the Black Caucus, and he supports vouchers.
He's the co-sponsor.
Ah,
let me get in on this. What is happening in many instances in the African American and Latino community is the African American legislators are saying, my constituents are calling for this.
Don't make me cuss. Mm-hmm.
And so whether it's true or not, I heard it yesterday. My constituents are saying that their children are not getting what they need in terms of an education.
That's fair.
I will say, you want to know what some questions to ask? You ask them, what kinds of legislation have they supported that speaks to adequate and equitable funding for these kids?
One more. I'll take it one step further.
Uh-huh.
What kind of legislation have you crafted to address those issues? Because you are a legislator,
uh-huh,
so you can craft the legislation.
Uh-huh. And also what is happening in the community, the folks that she's talking about with the mega dollars, they are picking off systematically key African-American spokespeople. And these spokespeople go out and spread the word. And if, in fact, it is a well-known spokesperson in the African-American community, then the African-American community members begin to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Case in point, last week, Andrew Young speaking out on behalf of Walmart. These folks are getting paid.
Wait a minute. I got to take a deep breath here. I got to take a deep breath here. Andrew Young
mm-hmm.
has been bought by Walmart?
Andrew Young is speaking out on behalf of Walmart.
Again, Andrew Young has been bought by Walmart.
But when you look at it, Walmart is everywhere in the African American community,
but California, they said no. They said no. And there's a black woman that is the lead plaintiff in a case of the largest lawsuit ever in the entire history of United States jurisprudence. That's filing a lawsuit against Walmart.
That's
people
right.
are rising up against Walmart, and it is shocking and disgusting to hear at a time where you're feeling the wave of American sentiment against Walmart
money,
black people like Andrew Young saying Walmart good.
But these
are the people. These are the people who are investing in the All Children Matter and giving money to this pro-voucher stance. These are the folks, the Walmarts,
and Liz,
the Overstock.com.
Overstock.com. What I ask people to do is to connect the dots.
That's right.
We're talking about vouchers. She mentioned the 65% solution.
Mm-hmm.
There's a taxpayer bill of rights,
mm-hmm.
vouchers.
Let's talk
tuition,
about charter schools, too.
Tuition tax credits, a tax on health care benefits,
mm-hmm.
a tax on pension benefits. And when you start connecting all of those dots, you will find that all of the same people are involved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very, very few, but it's the ones that have money, and very few, if any, are people of color.
Where is this on the calendar, on the House calendar?
It's going to be heard in committee. I think it's House Bill 1783, which is Carl Bearden's bill. And it's really interesting because they created a new committee called Urban Issues.
Who?
The Republicans.
That's an oxymoron. Urban. They created a new committee.
For this voucher bill, they created a new committee. The only Democrat who has chaired a committee, who is chairing a committee, has that committee.
And that would be?
Ted Hassan.
So, when is it anticipated?
Monday, it will go to committee. It's probably on a fast track. Which means that it'll be on the calendar maybe within 2 weeks. It has to go through rules. The rules committee, after it's heard in committee, has to be exec'd out for both. And then it will be on the floor. It's a hot topic this year. It has already been heard. The Senate Bill 962, which is the complementary bill in the Senate, has already been heard. And Rita Days came out on that. Really strong and she
against it.
Against it, she mm-hmm. was a great advocate against that bill, and really chewed them up. The mm-hmm. sponsors for that bill. So we're
so in terms of not local legislators. What did Senator Maida Coleman? Where is she on this issue?
You know, I actually track my own senator, which is Rita Days,
okay.
and she sits on education. I haven't talked to Maida about it. My concentration is making sure that I kill it in the House,
mm-hmm.
and that's what
all
I'm
the legislators
on.
Can have an opportunity to
right.
kill it in the House. Yaphet El Amin has an opportunity to kill it. Rodney Hubbard has an opportunity to kill
Amber
it.
Boykins.
To Amber Boykins. And what's delightful about that opportunity is that. Amber Boykins and Yaphet El Amin want job promotions. They're both running for the Senate. So now is the time to get to these people and ask them the question. Tell them the question to ask again, Ms. Maria.
What have you sponsored? How did you vote on the amendments mm-hmm. last year?
How much money have you gotten from these people, if you've gotten any money from these people at all? So those are the questions that you need to ask these legislators at this election time.
And you
critical.
Know what? It's not, we talked about it a little bit earlier, not just on the state level, but
mm-hmm.
the local level,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there's a policy. It's actually kind of good, but they're working from the grassroots, as all people should be working from the grassroots. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's bad. In this situation, they're trying to get people from the very local level who support vouchers so they can move them on up. That's been a Republican strategy for years on end. They knew that Matt Blunt was going to run for governor
mm-hmm.
20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They knew he was going to run for governor 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They know he's going to run for president, vice president. They know that they're probably going to try to replace his father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know that. We have to think systematically. We have to plan ahead. We have to be precise in our motives. We have to know exactly what we're going to do.
And since you're talking about the Republican Party, let's talk about the Democratic Party. Let's talk about the local Democratic Party. How much money are they pumping into the opposition of this type of bill? What kind of actions are they taking? What kind of stances are they taking? What kind of positions are they taking in opposition to this? How many emails are they sending out to their constituents to tell them to come? Because that's free. How many emails are they sending out? What is their concerted effort? What is their plan? What is their strategy on killing this bill?
Come on, Black Dog Democrat, tell us.
Brown dog Democrat. You know what? We always can do a better job. I am not satisfied right now, but it is incumbent upon myself and other people to make the message stronger within the Democratic Party. And one of the ways you do that is speaking out right now. And we're not doing the best job we can as a party.
And Greg, I want you to speak to underscore this again, because we're talking about billions of dollars. We're talking about billions of dollars being taken out of the budget for this. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. Billions of dollars will be funneled into vouchers if this initiative petition is passed on the November ballot, if it makes it there. The other thing that we just heard last night, Liz, from our legislative director, is that this voucher bill in the House is on such a fast track, it may make it to the House for debate next week. So we have to have people ready next week to call their legislators, call them over the weekend, find out where they're at on this bill, and tell them that they don't want them to support this voucher.
They have to hear from the Black community.
Give us some numbers, some phone numbers for people to call right now. Is there a number up to Jefferson City?
Yes, there is.
All right,
there is.
Give us that number.
The number to contact your legislator to find out what their number is 573-751-2000. And all you have to do is say, I'd like to speak to my state rep, Maria Chappelle Nadal, and they will transfer you.
Do you have to know the name
of
your, can you give them your address and they can tell you who your state representative is? No, but you have to know who your state representative is.
Yeah, you should know I hope we know who our state representatives and senators are.
And let me give that number out again, 573-751-2000. Folks need to get on the horn right now and tell their state legislators, do not support this bill. We will be watching you. I know some of you want a job promotion. Do not support this bill, because it's so important. And that's why I really, and who can we call in the Democratic Party to tell them to get off their rusty dusties and get involved?
Y'all need to call Roger Wilson. I don't know that number.
Okay.
But y'all need to call Roger Wilson.
Right, and Roger Wilson is?
He is the chair of the Democratic State Party, and I would encourage folks, because we have not heard from the Black community has not heard from Roger Wilson. At all.
Okay. The community, don't fall for the okey-doke.
Right.
They will tell you, well, the African-American community is supportive of this.
No,
I'm hearing from my constituents that this is what they need to want, or this is what they want. Don't fall for that. Just like they will say that the African-American community is moving toward massive support of vouchers.
No, they're not.
You will also find that the African American community is also saying that they will expend the money and are willing to expend the money to fund education.
That's right.
Ask these legislators, what are you doing to make it possible for all children, not just some, for all children to have access to a quality public school?
The St. Louis Public School. This was going to impact them money-wise. Where is their lobbyist?
And control-wise.
Where is the St. Louis Public School's lobbyist on this?
Hold up. I want to tell y'all something. First of all, your mayor supports this voucher bill.
Don't be putting them on me.
That's the mayor of the city of St. Louis.
Your mayor supports this
voucher. We know that.
I've talked to their lobbyist. He supports this bill.
I'm talking about the lobbyist for the
St. Louis Public Schools. Not Rodney Boyd, I guess.
We're talking about Steve Carroll.
No, he's on it. Steve Carroll is on it.
He's opposing it?
Yeah, he's opposing it.
Okay.
I mean, he's very effective. I mean, he was one of my partners last year, but it's your mayor and it's your RCGA. Why is it that the Kansas City Chamber of Commerce has come out on this bill and these voucher bills, but our RCGA has not come against it at all because they're supporting it?
Because they're in lockstep. I mean, it's part of the mayor's program for the city of St. Louis to dismantle public education.
And also, this is a way for he can say to his moneyed backers, see, I got you 100% tax credit. I delivered to you, and I didn't have to come out of my pocket, and you didn't have to come out your pocket for real. This is my gift to you.
You know, they told me yesterday that there were three cities in Missouri that had been targeted as part of one of these bills.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Here it goes, y'all. Here's the bill. Two biggest school districts in the state, Kansas City, St. Louis City, then Wellston. Well, one of the smallest school districts in the state.
Let me get this straight. They didn't target the Clayton School District.
No.
They didn't target the Melville School District.
No.
They didn't target Rittner School District. They didn't target any school district but the three black school districts, predominantly black school districts.
Exactly.
Three black school districts. That's where they targeted it. So in order to make this clear to our listeners, the legislation would only apply to those three school districts?
Yeah.
It gets the camel's nose under the tent.
Mm. So that's the
using the black districts.
Mm.
But the goal is to make it possible for everybody, private and parochial, to have it as well.
George Bush says he's only spying on the terrorists. Camel's nose under the tent. He's trying to get it all of us.
It's part of the phase-in. Remember that. I mean, right now they're only targeting those three school districts. But once you open up those chapters, once you open those chapters up in the Constitution, anything can happen in the next 7 years. In fact, they have plans. There's a book, How to Design a Voucher Program. There is a book that Marty Dugan, I told you this, handed out, and it has that phase-in implementation of how to design a full-fledged voucher program.
And see what Maria mentioned about your governor, and everybody has known what he was going to do. What is being played out now is something that the folks have been planning for at least 30 years, and it's now becoming...
It's not something that they just popped up and
Absolutely.
Did. This is a plan, and they stuck
Absolutely.
To their plan. So my question goes to Roger Wilson. My question goes to this Democratic Party. What's your plan? What are you doing to fight this? It's in your face. It is going to affect, while it may just affect black folks initially, it's going to affect everybody when we're talking about billions of dollars being taken out, billions of dollars that we can't even account for because, Greg, if they take this money out and they spend it in these private schools, who's going to be the oversight to see what happens to that money?
Yeah, there's no accountability with this at all.
None.
Not a bit.
Typical Halliburton.
Liz, we cannot, as a black community, number one, be taken for granted. You know, what I personally cannot stand as a legislator is that when there's a big corporate issue or if there's this voucher thing, what they'll do is send...
They being the Democrats.
Anyone. They'll send the black representative. And yes, even Claire McCaskill has done that. They send the black representative. I don't want to talk to the black representative. I want to talk to the person who's running.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk to
That's
the
right.
head of the party.
That's right.
I want to talk to whoever this big corporation is. They try to fool us.
Mm-hmm.
Just because someone looks like us does not mean that the intent is genuine.
What did sister say? Their eyes are watching God. All my skinfolk ain't my kinfolk.
Go, Zora Neale.
Okay. That's right.
Mm-hmm. You got to hear about this 65%.
Okay, we have to take a break. We have to take a break. Got to pay some bills. Y'all go stay. Just five more minutes. Okay, we're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This is an extended edition of Eye on the Lou and Beyond.
I'm going to have a lot.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour at 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Dove Energy Glow Body Lotion. Eastbound 70 at McKelvey and St. Charles Rock Road. Look for a disabled vehicle. Left lane is blocked and traffic jams through Earth City Expressway. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed to eastbound traffic. Crews are performing maintenance work at this hour. Eastbound 44 at Chrysler and 270. Look for heavy volume. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to Marshall. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and West Florissant. Look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan to Mid-Rivers. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Big Bend. Look for stop-and-go traffic as well. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Hanley. Look for slow traffic. Southbound 270 at Dorset and Page. Look for very heavy volume going on there as well. Northbound 55 between 270 and Bates. No problems to report. Westbound 5570 from the Illinois 111 all the way into the PSP. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 64 at 111. Through the 5570 split, look for bumper-to-bumper traffic there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at the Missouri Bank. The right lane is closed due to casino work, and traffic is jammed at the 5570 split. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from Monsanto onto the PSB. It is slow go as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Dove Energy Glow Body Lotion. A woman's glow is beautiful, and now every woman can enhance her own glow with new Dove Energy Glow Body Lotion with skin brighteners. Visit Dove.com for your free sample while supplies last. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Breezy showers and thunderstorms likely throughout the day. Heavy rain is possible at times. The high should be in the lower 60s, but it will be falling into the mid-50s by this afternoon. This evening, colder showers likely in the evening, low and lower 40s and breezy conditions. Tomorrow, partly sunny, a high around 60. Tomorrow evening, partly cloudy. Early in the evening, becoming mostly cloudy throughout the day with a low and a lower 50s. And on Saturday, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers and a possible thunderstorm with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 54 degrees under cloudy skies with rain. Lambert Field is holding at 55 and clouds and rain as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next is an extended Eye on the Lou segment with Irene J. Smith. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The recent hailstorm may have caused damage to your roof. But beware. When these types of events happen, people called storm chasers appear out of the blue and offer to do the work, but then disappear with your money and only half do the job. Phil Person of Phil Person Roofing reminds you he will be here to serve you long after the storm chasers have come and gone. Person Roofing is a licensed and certified contractor specializing in roof replacements and repairs, and replaces from 200 to 400 roofs a year. Phil Person Roofing, in business 16 years, 361-7127.
Hi, this is Jamila Nasheed, candidate for state representative. Election time is in August, but tax time is now, so I have some very important information for our community. Did you know that under the Circuit Breaker Tax Credit Program, senior citizens and disabled veterans can receive a check up to $3,000 or more? Monies that can be used for the high cost of prescription drugs, high utility bills, and the rise in price of gasoline. For more information about the Circuit Breaker Tax Credit Program, call me at 409-5730 so that I can help you help yourself. If you have already filed your income taxes, don't worry. You still have time. Once again, call me, Jamila Nasheed, at 409-5730.
Paid for by citizens to elect Jamila Nasheed, State Representative for the 60th District. Felicia Brooks, Treasurer.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Then, stay tuned for Dave Linehan.
What is a community? It's friends, neighbors, co-workers, the people we work with, the people we share our world with. Sodexo is a community. It's a community of more than 100,000 employees and the 6 million people we serve every day. Sodexo is a community of people committed to improving the quality of daily life in St. Louis. It's why we partner with local minority-owned businesses, support the Gateway Classic with $50,000 in scholarships, and provide grants to the Martin Luther King Jr. Essay Contest and YMCA tutorial programs. It's why we collected nearly a quarter of a ton of food for the Kirksville Food Bank and support programs like Habitat for Humanity. Sodexo is part of your community, providing services across America and right here in St. Louis. Get to know us at SodexoUSA.com.
You are invited to attend a forum examining the role of minorities in government and business. It takes place Wednesday, March 22nd at the University of Missouri, St. Louis in the Century Room of the Millennium Center. Guest speakers include California Congressman Maxine Waters, Missouri State Senator Rita Hurd Davis of the 14th District, and WGNU Wake Up Call host Liz Brown. This National Forum for Black Public Administrators is presented in conjunction with the University of Missouri, St. Louis, and the Associated Black Collegians. Admission is free. Call 436-8721 for more information. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Extended. Eye on the Loo and beyond. There are a couple of people that really want to talk to us. Let me get to a couple of people on the line because they've been waiting and waiting and waiting to have some conversations. It's all right. It's going to be all right. Joe.
Yes, Liz. Just wanted to make a point, too, that there's an excellent article in the Black Commentator about Andrew Young's relationship with Walmart.
Excellent. I love BlackCommentator.com.
Yeah, excellent article.
Okay.
But I wanted to ask Greg and the representative there what they thought of the roots of the relationship or the unholy relationship between Rodney Hubbard and Cunningham, especially as it relates to this piece of legislation.
All right.
Well, I can tell you that Jane Cunningham bragged that she was the one responsible for bringing in all of this money from All Children Matter from outside the state of Missouri. And she was responsible for getting in touch with Rodney Hubbard and making sure that All Children Matter funded his campaign as well. So there's a direct connection between All Children Matter, Jane Cunningham, and Rodney Hubbard on these issues.
And Jane Cunningham has a horrible reputation with the community of African descent, does she not?
Oh, absolutely. Even within her own caucus, they don't like her.
Mm.
I mean, they really don't like her. I think one of the reasons why the bill was taken from her, because she has 1479, they kind of changed it, and it became Carl Bearden's bill, which is 1783. And, you know, a lot of folks just don't like her. There are a good number of rural Republicans who will not be voting for this bill. And that's one of the reasons why we were successful in defeating the bill, is because Democrats and some Republicans came together and said, no, 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 we're not going to have it.
And I just want to take this time, because sometimes I think we wait too late to praise people for the things that they have done. Maria, as a freshman legislator, I just really want to commend you on the remarkable insight that you had, the remarkable strategies that you engaged in, and the incredible work that you put into to bring the people together, to work collectively on both sides of the aisles with people on both ends of the state to kill this bill. You did a wonderful, remarkable, and honorable thing, and thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it.
And let me
that.
Tell you that the teachers and education employees across the state recognize that Maria is a real champion on this bill, and we are really glad that she's out there with us fighting these efforts.
And I'm hoping that you all are going to be out there with her as she goes through her reelection.
That's right. We have already early recommended Maria for reelection for her House District race.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely.
And we need
65% solution.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about the 65% solution.
Well, they call it a solution, and really it's a deception. All it does is take the money that's already in school districts and redistributes it. So it's like a shell game.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't put one new dime into adequately funding schools, and it's the state telling every local school district what they have to spend their money on. The problem is the definition is so narrow, it doesn't include a lot of things that kids need. Transportation, it doesn't include food services, doesn't include training for teachers to do a better job. All of those are important in educating students. The proposal has been revised in Missouri. It's now the 66.6% solution. I don't know if this 666 proposal will do any better than 65, but I tell you what, no matter what they call it, it's bad news.
And this is something that's not just happening in the state of Missouri. It's happening all over the country.
It's another one of those.
It's a voucher issue. It's a charter school issue. It's one of those things that's percolating, connecting the dots. It's all about getting at the money.
And Maria mentioned Overstock.com. The CEO of Overstock.com, Patrick Byrne, is the person that's funding these efforts around the country. And their goal by 2010 is to have it in 20 or 30 states.
And so where is this particular... Is this a piece of legislation that is out here? What's the status of it?
It is legislation, and it's both in the House and in the Senate. And they're counting their votes. What they didn't count on is when the governor proposed it, there was such an outcry from the education community and folks back home that the legislators, Republican and Democrat alike, went back and said, wait a minute, we have to rethink this. Mm-hmm. We're hearing it's not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
So they changed it to a recommendation instead of a mandate. But they still want the folks to vote on it in November. The problem is, if they're doing that, they're really deceiving the voters. They're making it look like they're doing something for education.
It's the same with vouchers.
And indeed they're not. That's exactly right.
It's the same with vouchers. We're really trying to educate the kids, give parents choice when you're not.
It takes away local control, and that's really the bottom line. It confuses your federal dollars, your community dollars from property or your tax base, and your state dollars. And there's some communities that do 50% of their income goes into the classroom, and they have a great school district, a wonderful school district. But there should not be a mandate nor even a recommendation that a certain percentage should go into the classroom without knowing what the community wants. I mean, we all support 100% going into education, as Mr. Weaver likes to say, but that should be comprehensive. It should include your bus drivers. It should include your nurses. It should include your school counselors. By having this two-thirds rule, which is what they're calling in this State House and Senate right now, by having this rule, it is not only misleading to the public, but the perception that it gives is that it is a genuine thing, and it's not.
And see, with that, and it's all embedded in politics as well. Because what they are trying to do in one instance is to attract some of the middle income and high income women who typically support public education.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you
and
go.
They see vouchers as taking away
there
support.
You go. There you go.
And so if in fact these supporters of 65% can show that they are not taking away money, but they are continuing to give public education this money, then they hope that that will cause these women now to become supporters of vouchers.
Mm.
Slick, well-thought-out strategy.
There it is, yes, and sick, and a very sick, well-thought-out strategy.
Selling the American public rabbit sausages.
And here's the other piece of it is that we hear from, on the right side of the aisle, the conservatives, the Republicans, that we need to get government out of our life. This is bringing government
Absolutely.
Into our lives in a
Absolutely.
Way that they've never been in our lives before.
Just another interesting comment about the voucher piece. You know, 1954, Brown versus the Board of Education. It says that every kid should have the opportunity to be able to have a chance of being successful. In the 50s, vouchers were used by white families to avoid desegregation as handed down by Brown versus
exactly.
Board.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're trying to use vouchers
as
the
savior. It's the same. It's the same energy. It's the same theory. It's the same concept. And in the bottom line, it's going to be the same results.
Mm-hmm.
Because the schools that we're talking about, the private schools that we are talking about, are not black schools. We're talking about white schools trying to get money from the public sector to fund their schools.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess we're going to have to bring that.
And corporate welfare.
And corporate welfare. Mm-hmm. All right, let me get the phone number out one more time. 573-751-2000. Call there. Ask for your legislator. Talk to your legislator about all of this. Ask them where they are in the vouchers bill. Ask them where they are on 65%. Tell them, no, I am not supportive of it. And you better give back the money that you got, or you better not take any money from these folks because you are opposed to this. The number is 573-751-2000. Roger Wilson's number we're going to get because the Democrats need to have a plan, need to have a strategy, and I don't understand why they're not hopping up and down and howling at the moon on this issue.
They can't take our base for granted
that
anymore.
They absolutely can't.
They call us a base vote, but they don't want to put any money into it.
They need to call Claire McCaskill.
Where's Claire McCaskill?
I haven't heard a thing on
okay.
this issue.
We need to
I
know
haven't
where
heard
people...
anything on this issue.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you all so much. Thank
but
you for
thank
the
you
time.
So much.
Thank you for the time putting the information out there. And we're going to keep talking about this because this is a critical issue. Thank you all very much. We're taking a break. Stay with us. We'll get to some of your calls, some of your comments. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Portland. And now, the case of Senator Gordon Smith, a Republican from the state of Oregon. When he ran for office in 2003, he promised he was going to work to close tax loopholes that permit large corporations to escape paying taxes. One such loophole allows moving corporate headquarters to tax havens like Bermuda. He also supported legislation that would permit a tax break to companies if they move their headquarters from such tax havens back to the United States. That's a measure that put about $200 billion back in government coffers. But then the lobbyists got to him. Just 2 years later, he took a donation from interests in the Virgin Islands, which is another tax haven, and then he started backing away from his loophole stand. Last year, he took a trip to the Virgin Islands, and when he came back, he opposed a measure that would have repealed that repatriating incentive for corporations. He also got a donation of $47,000 from a lobbying group called the Virgin Islands Tax Working Group. They paid out a total of $250,000 to lobbyists last year. Now, this group is working for a block of wealthy financial investors who don't want a new law to go through that would require them to actually live in the Virgin Islands for half a year in order to receive corporate incentives for investing there. Getting around taxes with this loophole costs the government an estimated $400 million a year. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? That's right, that's right. Where else are you going to get your big screen television, your small screen television? Where else are you going to have your hometown celebration day on March 13th? Sears, where else? 3425 Union, that's right. 10% off of regular and sale prices. Hometown celebration day at your Sears. 0% APR financing until January 7th on tractors or mowers over $249. Such a great deal. You need to get on down to your hometown Sears to celebrate hometown celebration day. 3425 Union. I'm Liz Brown. When you talk to Jerome Williams and get treated like a king or queen, tell him I told you to.
How do you become a hero at work? It's easy. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and deliver a basket of goodies on Monday to the winning workplace. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees of WGNE Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNE Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
You are invited to attend a forum examining the role of minorities in government and business. It takes place Wednesday, March 22nd at the University of Missouri St. Louis in the Century Room of the Millennium Center. Guest speakers include California Congressman Maxine Waters, Missouri State Senator Rita Hurd Davis of the 14th District, and WGNU Wake Up Call host Liz Brown. This national forum for black public administrators is presented in conjunction with the University of Missouri St. Louis and the Associated Black Collegians. Admission is free. Call 436-8721 for more information.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Mercy me. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. Don, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I was wondering if you'd allow kind of a little different view on this topic.
Sure.
And I just want to point out a couple of things.
Okay.
The national statistics of what we spend on primary and secondary education, it's $536 billion, okay? And school districts like Wellston that you're talking about, it's about $11,000 a year they're spending on the kids there, you know? And I certainly don't doubt your sincerity, but it's been, you know, the conversation that you've been having, it's like everything, absolutely everything is wrong with vouchers and anyone who promotes vouchers.
Let me ask you a couple of questions, okay, so I can get clarity on your thought process on this. Mm-hmm. When you say that $11,000 per year is spent on a student at Wellston, I'll just take that number for right now.
I can tell you why. I gave you that number.
Okay,
you
know. I'm saying I'll take it. I'm not challenging the number. Please tell me how vouchers addresses that. How does vouchers solve a problem for, as you see a problem in Wellston?
Okay. Well, it's not that I see a problem in Wellston, and, you know, Wellston is not accredited, and Wellston has problems, and everyone hopes that the problems get solved in Wellston just like anywhere else where kids are not getting properly educated.
Well, let's stop just for a second, Don, just to stop for a second, and we have time for this conversation. So Wellston is not accredited because they take test scores to make a determination of where they stand on in the educational process. So there are a series of things that are measured in Wellston that are not measured in any private school. Okay, so continue.
Okay. I think we can both stipulate that there are certain schools that are not doing well, okay, that not every public school is educating kids properly.
And not every private school is doing that as well.
That's fine. We can stipulate both. Then.
Okay.
That's no problem.
Okay.
How does vouchers do it? Well, what vouchers does, it allows parents to have an opportunity to send their kids somewhere else. Okay. Now, if the tuition of a private school is, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000, does the current bill say that they get $8,000, $9,000, $10,000? Maybe not.
They do not get $8,000, $9,000, $10,000.
Yeah, right. But then there's also scholarships. Okay, there's a lot of scholarships that are not $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 from various private schools. Private schools offer scholarships. So
well, first of all, not all private schools offer scholarships.
I didn't say all.
Okay, but we're saying we're giving people choice, so that means we're giving choice to all schools that are out there. And so the reality is that all private schools do not give scholarships, and all private schools don't take every child, correct?
This is true.
Okay, so we've cut back on the numbers of children that you want to give this choice to. So continue on. So we already have a small pool of children that will be afforded this choice that vouchers maintains that they give parents. Continue. What else do vouchers do?
Well, here's the thing, though. The public school remains. There's no way that a school simply goes out of business for no reason. There's no reason why a voucher program is expanded around the country, and it's now in 11 states and Washington, D.C. There's no way that these programs just operate in a vacuum, okay? They're happening for a reason. It's not because...
It's because of politics and money. And if you listen to the show, if you have one side of an issue that is fully funded and fully committed, you are going to get legislation passed that allows certain things to happen, whether they are good things or bad things. We only have one side of this issue that is funded. So we cannot draw a conclusion from the fact that one side of this issue is fully funded, one side of this issue is fully motivated, one side of this issue will get a lot of money out of this as a comment, or we can't draw the conclusion that this, the fact that they are successful, represents the fact that everybody in America wants this happening. That's not true. That's a handful of people with a lot of money that are funding this issue.
Liz, come on. The NEA is fully funded. The National Education Association is fully funded.
Yes,
okay?
They are responding to this. They're not creating legislation. They are responding to what the voucher people are bringing to them. That most Americans are not, I submit to you that there are more people that have a connection of a teacher to the NEA than people have a connection to the higher-ups at Walmart that are funding this.
Okay. Look, you know, I understand that you don't like Walmart. Okay, but there's a lot of folks out there.
I like what's happening with the money of Walmart and how people are being treated, and the lawsuits against them speak for themselves.
Well, the lawsuits, we'll see what happens with lawsuits. There's a lot of lawsuits out there.
Absolutely,
you know.
Absolutely.
Sometimes they go one way, then they go back the other way.
Getting back to vouchers, the bottom line is, because my music's coming up, the bottom line is that public schools suffer as a result of the implementation of vouchers for a couple of reasons. One, the students that, there's only a certain amount of money that's available. If we have vouchers, public schools will have even less money to do what they're trying to do right now. I cannot, and I don't see that anybody could support the idea that the majority of the students are not going to go into public schools, to private schools, so that the majority of the students are going to suffer at the expense of a handful of the other students. We can't afford to allow that to happen.
Maybe we'll take a couple of kids out of the classroom and get rid of some of that overcrowding.
And again, the numbers aren't there to support that it would have any impact on that. We need to put more money into our public schools and make smaller classes, because we know that's the answer. I got to go. We're going to the news. Stay with me.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wounds.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Alden.
We're not going to rest till we get a vote on this issue.
New York Senator Charles Schumer with a warning to the White House and to anyone in Congress who might be in favor of a controversial ports deal. It comes as a Republican-led House committee voted to block the plan that would give control to a Dubai-owned company.
The president faces outright rebellion, Republicans and Democrats, on the port issue in Congress. So the White House is pleading for time. The White House says there's a 45-day review of the Dubai company coming up. Let that work before anyone passes legislation to stop the ports deal.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. Congress didn't give President Bush quite as much trouble with his call to renew the Patriot Act, and it did, and today he'll sign the bill into law. It's been a pretty nice winter so far, weather-wise, across much of the nation. ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey has more on how the experts will remember this season.
It was the fifth warmest winter on record, an average temperature nationwide of 36.3 degrees, 1.2 degrees above the mean. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says most of that is due to a very balmy January. That means we all saved some on heating bills. NOAA says residential energy demand is 11% below normal. And one more thing about this wacky winter. A late tropical storm, Zeta, at the end of December, the 27th named storm of the year. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Iran has threatened harm and pain to the U.S. if it pushes the UN to shut down the Islamic nation's nuclear program. So should Washington be worried about this? Author and New York Times columnist Tom Friedman says not necessarily. On the other hand, he says you can't ignore the threat.
These countries are really used to being independent, non-aligned. The idea of them following the United States in anything, even something as important as this, it's going to be very difficult.
He says best case scenario, getting Russia, China, and India to put on the pressure. This is ABC News.
Top three reasons my feet are happy. Number three, I got new carpet. Really, really soft carpet. Number two, I didn't have to walk around a million stores to get something you need. And number one, they gave me 10% off. So I gave my feet a new pair of shoes.
Right now at the Home Depot Spring Flooring Event, get 10% off all installed flooring. Plus, all area rugs are 20% off. Hurry in. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through 329 and U.S. only. See store for license numbers.
When my baby left for college, I took some classes of my own.
That's right, turn.
Dance classes. That's when I started needing a pain reliever for my sore legs. Then I upgraded my computer and had to get a headache medicine, too. For every new pain, I had a different pain reliever. But now I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, and nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
User directed compared to OTC pain relievers.
You know, it seems just about everyone has an iPod, doesn't it? ABC's Linda Albin says this is proof that just about everyone does.
What to give to the man who has everything, including God on his side? Would you believe an iPod Nano? The staff at Vatican Radio has presented the Pope with a brand new 2-gigabyte state-of-the-art pencil-thin audio player loaded with programming in English, German, and Italian, as well as classical music by Mozart, Chopin, and Tchaikovsky. The Pope was apparently impressed with the gizmo, telling the technical boffins computer technology is the future. Once the 78-year-old Benedict gets the hang of iPod's trademark click wheel, he'll be able to relive a little bit of history, including programming from his own historic election in April 2005. Linda Albin, ABC News, London.
The nation is kicking the habit. Cigarette sales are at their lowest level in 55 years, down 21% since a landmark agreement with Big Tobacco. But the National Association of Attorneys General says nearly 378 billion smokes were sold last year. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
St. Louis, this is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, the assembly line at the Hazelwood Ford plant is quiet this morning. The last SUV rolled off the line at the plant yesterday, 2 days before the plant was set to go idle. Now the plant's 1,400 employees are choosing whether to stay with Ford and hope for employment elsewhere or to take one of five company buyout packages. Missouri's Rapid Response Team is offering help to Hazelwood Ford workers losing their jobs. Deborah Minish, the state's Rapid Response Coordinator, explains some of the advice available to workers being laid off as a result of Ford's restructuring.
Those services can be anywhere from helping them with resumes, helping them with a job search, even to the point that if they want to go back to school to upgrade some skills or retrain, we have funds available where we can pay for the tuition, books, and fees while they are in training.
Minish says she hopes workers at the Ford plant will take advantage of the services offered through the Rapid Response Team. The last SUV rolled off the line at the Hazelwood Ford plant yesterday. Finally this hour, Illinois Senator Dick Durbin is calling for an immediate Senate vote on the Dubai port deal. Durbin says the Republican Senate leadership is blocking a vote on what he calls a dangerous deal that would turn over the management of six key ports to United Arab Emirates-owned Dubai Ports World.
But Missouri Republican Senator Kit Bond says there are many misconceptions about the deal. Bond says that the Coast Guard and Customs will still provide security at the ports no matter who manages them, and that the UAE is an important U.S. ally in the war on terror. This WGNU News report is brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, tires are an important part of your vehicle. Through March, purchase 4 tires from your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer and receive 3 complimentary oil changes. Toyota, moving you forward. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Dove Energy Glow Body Lotion. The reversible lanes on I-70 are closed to eastbound traffic. Crews are performing maintenance work eastbound 44 from Antire to Merrimack River Bridge. Look for normal traffic. Northbound 270 from Gravoid to 44. Look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 70 at Zumbel and Earth City Expressway. Everything's on the move. Westbound 270 from Chain Rocks Bridge to West Florissant. No problems to report there. Eastbound 70 from K to 79. And traffic starting to ease up this hour. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the PSB. Look for slow traffic this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic, the right lane at the Missouri Bank is closed for casino work, and traffic still jammed back at 5570 split. Eastbound 70 from 270 to St. Charles Rock Road. Look for very heavy volume going on there. Westbound 40 from McCausland to Hanley. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from 270 to Hanley. Look for stop-and-go traffic as well. Lindbergh at Gravoy and Sappington, there's a report of an injury accident. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Dove Energy Glow Body Lotion. A woman's glow is beautiful, and now every woman can enhance her own glow with new Dove Energy Body Lotion with skin brighteners. Visit Dove.com today for your free sample while supplies last. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday for today, breezy showers and thunderstorms this morning, and locally heavy rain is possible throughout the day with a high in the lower 60s. Temperatures will be falling into the 50s by this afternoon. This evening, colder, breezy, showers likely in the evening, low in the lower 40s. For Friday, partly sunny with a high around 60. Friday evening, partly cloudy in the evening, becoming mostly cloudy throughout the day with a low in the lower 50s. And on Saturday, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers is possible with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 55 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 56. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Young brother. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not ask for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. You stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that blows at the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop
me. The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
All men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get up, get to me. And if you want to email me, no problemo. All you have to do is email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up, get up, get to me, huh? We were talking in the last couple of hours, about education, about vouchers, about the cost to our communities when monies are shifted out of the public interest and into the hands of businesses. And there's a danger in that. There's a danger in that of because there's no oversight. There's a danger in that in because who decides how this money is going to be spent? And let me give you and now we have a new business that is trying to get money from the us, our tax money. Churches. Check this out. George Bush ordered the Department of Homeland Security yesterday to create a Center for Faith-Based and Community Initiatives within Homeland Security. Huh? It's like Homeland Security, and I said this when Homeland Security was being created. Homeland Security is going to be the big white hole that everything gets sucked into and hidden from view. It is such an enormous, it's sucked in FEMA, it's sucked in the Coast Guard, it's sucked in all of these cabinet level posts and sucked it into them and just finding, there's going to be such a budget for Homeland Security that we're not going to know where anywhere this money goes. We're not going to know anything about where this money goes. Check this out. Creating a faith-based and a community initiative. And what's the reason for the creating these entities? Let me just tell you. To eliminate regulatory, contracting, programmatic barriers to providing federal funds to religious groups to deliver social services. So, what does that mean? It means the rules that say you can't discriminate based upon religion no longer apply. It means the rules that say you can't discriminate based upon color no longer apply. It means the rules that say that you have to pay people a living wage or a minimum wage no longer apply. Those rules don't apply anymore. They absolutely don't apply anymore. And what is particularly crafty and crafty and offensive at the same time is that they're hiding behind Katrina as a means to get done what they've always wanted to get done, to give religious organizations. And mind you, Minister Farrakhan is not going to be able to get this faith-based money. I assure you, he is not. But Pat Roberts, who called for the assassination of Hugo Chavez, will get plenty of the money and has already gotten plenty of the money. Pat Robertson has got so much money from faith-based initiatives. We're talking about millions, tens of millions of dollars that his organization has received from faith-based monies. Call up the minister and ask him how much money he got. Now, here's the thing. It goes back to when we let loose of regulations, when we let loose of rules, when we let loose of standards, what we have is a government that is governing based upon personal favorites. What if I am not a member of the Catholic Church? What if I'm not a member of any kind of church? Why should an evangelical group get more money than a Baptist group? Why should a Baptist group get more money because they are a Christian religion than the Nation of Islam, than a Muslim? Why should somebody who worships from the Bible get more money than a person who worships from the Quran? And that is what's going to happen. And when you have rules in place that say you cannot discriminate based upon religious affiliation, that helps. It's not a perfect system because we're human beings. There is no perfection. We're not perfect. But when there are rules that are clear, rules that are set forth saying that you cannot discriminate based upon a religious affiliation, based upon sexual orientation, based upon gender, based upon race, at least there is a redress. At least there is an opportunity for someone to come forward and to say, you're discriminated against me. And because there's this rule in place, I can take you to court. I can take you to a hearing. I can challenge you on what you have done to me, because it is not fair. It is not right to be able to choose to give our money, our tax dollars. It is not right to be able to refuse to give somebody the tax dollars that all of us put into the pot, to refuse to give them to them because you don't like the church where they worship, that you don't like their gender, that you don't like the mosque that they attend, that you don't believe in the Quran, that you don't believe in the Bible. There have to be rules in place to stop people who would do that and help people who it has been done to. And that's not happening here. What we see with George W. Bush is an effort to have no way for people to be held accountable for wrong behavior. And that is unacceptable. That is unacceptable and scary, because it impacts on all of us. And it impacts hugely on all of us. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get to me. And despite the fact that we see efforts by George Bush and this administration to continue to do as they have been doing for the last, oh Lord, how long has it been, 6 years? Despite the fact that they continue to do what they have been doing. These are not good times. George W. Bush's approval ratings are awful. Anywhere between 35% to 39%, under 40%. Some put him at 32%. We have Dick Cheney sitting at 18%. That's lower than Spiro Agnew. When Spiro Agnew quit because of tax evasion while he was vice president, yeah, at least Spiro Agnew had a 45% approval rating. These are tough times. These are tough times for George W. Bush, and they're fixing to get tougher. Ms. Peterson?
Yes.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. I just have a comment in regards to the pay.
The pay of what?
Workers in the job environment that's being underpaid.
Okay.
It actually has in response to the comment on yesterday with the charter schools.
Okay.
I'm a teacher's assistant in a charter school community, and I've been there almost 2 years.
Okay.
And they're basically saying that it's not in the budget to give pay increase, although I'm the one who's doing more than the teachers. And seeing how I work in an all-black urban elementary school,
mm-hmm.
and most of the teachers there are Caucasians,
mm-hmm.
meaning there's no classroom management,
mm-hmm.
and I'm the one that they look for when they're trying to get their kids in control. And since I'm just a TA / tutor / substitute, they're only able to pay me $10. And no, I can't get full-time or benefits. And I just thought that was pretty unfair. And my grandmother, she listens to your radio station all the time. And I'm like, who is this lady? And she was just telling me that you just speak about revolution. So I just wanted to really just call and express that to you.
Well, Ms. Peterson, did you happen to listen to any of the previous 2 hours of the show?
Huh?
I'm sorry, yes or no?
Actually, I just got it at like 8:30, 9 o'clock.
All right. The last two and a half hours, we have mm-hmm. been talking about the issue of charter schools and talking about the issue of vouchers
mm-hmm.
and the reason why they don't work and
mm-hmm.
the reason why they can't work and the reasons why they won't work.
Right.
The fact of the matter is that charter schools and vouchers were created for one thing and one thing only.
Profit.
And that is to get public money into the
right.
hands of private entities.
Right, and it's basically that they're running the charter schools, especially the one that I work for, as a business, not to mention that a daughter and a mother work in cahoots together at this place.
Mm.
Right, and the daughter is basically saying that she's a volunteer, but she has access to kids' assessments and numbers and just things of that nature. And I always thought that it was under no good work ethics that close families shouldn't work together.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not going to comment so much on close family members working together. My comment is more about the fact that there is, with a charter school, I can't get the records of a charter school like I can get the records of the St. Louis public schools because
uh-huh.
different rules apply. There is no transparency with regard to a charter school. And the success of charter schools across this nation has been failure. That's what they have been successful at is failing. They
right.
failed. They failed the communities. They've failed the children that they've experimented on. They failed the public, the honest, honorable use of public money. They failed all of those things. So, and also in particular in the city of St. Louis, we've had one charter school failure after another. And if
exactly.
your charter school is still existing, it's existing because, not because it's doing well. And one of the things that charter schools, we've seen with charter schools, because charter schools do have to take testing, that charter schools should do two things. One, They should do it better than the public schools. And two, they should do it cheaper than the public schools. Otherwise, there's no reason for their existence. Because if you're not doing it better, why are you here? And if you're not doing it better and cheaper, why are you here? Because the public schools can do the same thing. And when we look at the test scores out of charter schools, they're doing it worse than the public schools.
Exactly, because due to the behavior of the students, they always say that the kids need to be on meds just because of the
because they don't
behavior.
the teachers don't have to be certified teachers to teach
exactly.
in a charter school. So you're going to blame it on the babies because you don't know what the heck you're doing because you do not have the education or the degree to be teaching anybody. And you come into a school outside of a culture and you look at these children as problems when you walk in the door. So if you're bringing this to the children to begin with, that you're going to be a problem, there is going to be a problem.
Exactly, and that's my thing. Since I am not certified or I don't have the paperwork stating that I am a certified teacher, although I do their job, it's no benefit for me, basically. I'm just there to keep, and the kids look at me as role model because I understand them.
That's right.
I've been there. I've lived in the urban community, so I know how to respond to children. I don't think that medicine will be the reason that they'll behave right because now you have these kids walking around like zombies.
Thanks for your call, Ms. Peterson.
Thank you so much.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yes, Liz. I have tried to... You announce your email number when you're on the air most of the time. Am I correct?
Yes.
I was trying to get my granddaughter to respond and call you because she teaches in a charter school. She has told me so many things. It just brings tears to my eyes what's going on with some of those teachers and how they are doing them. My granddaughter was going to college.
Mm-hmm.
And she was studying to be a lawyer, and she needed money, and she decided when she ran into this gentleman that was in charge of charter school that he would give her so much money and what she could do as a teacher with the charter school with no experience in teaching whatsoever. She dropped out of college in the middle of the semester to teach in a charter school, with the impression that she would get this amount of money that he told her she would earn. She started teaching. She thought she would have a substitute in there to help her because she had no teaching experience whatsoever. After she got in there, Liz, she got exactly two paychecks on what he told her she would earn as a teacher. The third paycheck came. When she got into the classroom, she said she had no assistant, no teacher to help her, not even the proper material to teach the kids, no books or nothing. Kids sitting there looking at her, and she really didn't know what to do. Her conscience was bothering her because she wanted to teach the kids and do the right thing. After she got her second paycheck, she started complaining about the books and things she was supposed to have and the teacher's assistant, someone to help her, to tell her how she was to teach the kids. She told me that her paycheck dropped almost half. When she went to the whoever was in charge about her check being wrong, they told her she either accepted or she could leave and they would replace her. It is terrible what's going on in those charter schools. I don't know about all of the schools, but I'm just talking about the one that my granddaughter is in. Mm-hmm. And the teachers are afraid to speak up because if they speak up, they will determinate them and let them know on the spot or however they feel they want to. It is a mess, and I'm so happy that you and people like yourself are speaking out against them because I think it's just a money-making thing for people to steal money from the system.
Absolutely.
Okay, you have a good day.
Take care of yourself. Thank you, Mary. We're taking a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Get to me. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call, 454. Get to me. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get to me.
candidate for state representative. Election time is in August, but tax time is now. So I have some very important information for our community. Did you know that under the Circuit Breaker Tax Credit Program, senior citizens and disabled veterans can receive a check up to $3,000 or more? Monies that can be used for the high cost of prescription drugs, high utility bills, and the rise in price of gasoline. For more information about the Circuit Breaker Tax Credit Program, call me at 409-5730 so that I can help you help yourself. If you have already filed your income taxes, don't worry. You still have time. Once again, call me, Jamila Nasheed, at 409-5730.
Paid for by citizens to elect Jamila Nasheed, State Representative for the 60th District. Felicia Brooks, Treasurer.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in 2 to 4 weekday afternoons on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's go take on the day.
We, the believers at El Mukminun Islamic Center, would like to invite and encourage you to join us for our Saturday morning program, Focus on Al-Islam, 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m., featuring the son of Elijah Muhammad, Imam W.D. Muhammad, his public addresses and lectures on Islam and values of social well-being to the community of humanity. That's Focus on Al-Islam, every Saturday morning from 8 to 8:30 a.m. on WGNU Radio.
Hello, is this Dr. Walker?
No, Dr. Walker is not on the air right now. Can I help you with something?
No, I need to talk to Dr. Walker. I have some medical questions that I'd like to have her answer. When can I talk to Dr. Walker?
Dr. Walker will be live on the air every Thursday from noon till 1 p.m. Call 314-454-0400 to talk to Dr. Walker.
You are invited to attend a forum examining the role of minorities in government and business. It takes place Wednesday, March 22nd at the University of Missouri St. Louis in the Century Room of the Millennium Center. Guest speakers include California Congressman Maxine Waters, Missouri State Senator Rita Hurd Davis of the 14th District, and WGNU Wake Up Call host Liz Brown. This National Forum for Black Public Administrators is presented in conjunction with the University of Missouri St. Louis and the Associated Black Collegians. Admission is free. Call 436-8721 for more information.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, and my number here is 1-877-920-WGNU, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Morning. By the way, I came up with a bumper sticker that you might appreciate. What? And that is, the only thing we have to fear is Bush himself. You like that?
Two thumbs up.
All right. The faith-based program within the Department of Homeland Security. I don't know much about it beyond mm-hmm. what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that something like 95% or more of the funds for the other faith-based programs go to Christian groups, and a big chunk of that, most of that, to evangelical Christians like millionaire Pat Robertson.
That is correct.
Yes.
That is correct.
This is unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
The Bush people have not read the Constitution and don't care anything about it.
I disagree, Anita. I think they've read it and they've chosen. They said, well, we don't have to follow any of that.
Yeah, that's right. They dismiss it.
That's right.
It's not useful to them.
That's
actually.
Right. That's right.
They don't read history, and they only care about rewriting it.
Mm.
And this is my issue, separation of church and state. This should be immediately tested in the courts, in my opinion. That's what I have to say.
All right, Anita. Thank you so
okay.
much. The only thing we have to fear is Bush himself. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up. Get to me. Timothy.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I was a student. I recently was a student at a charter school.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it isn't working, and they shouldn't be there because it's not better than any teacher.
Timothy, what charter school did you attend?
I went to Construction Career Center.
And what was that like?
Well, I'm not going to say that I'm a good student, but... It's like the assistant principal takes over the principal. He doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
The assistant principal does most of the work. So I just wanted to know, is charter schools, the St. Louis public schools affiliated?
The way that they are affiliated, Timothy, is that charter schools take money from the St. Louis public schools in order to operate.
So they sponsor.
They sponsor it. Exactly. And also they get money. They get resources from the public schools. If they need to bus students to a charter school, St. Louis public schools pay for that. The lunch programs, the St. Louis public schools pay for that. The leases on the buildings, the St. Louis public schools pay for that. And aside from taking money out of public schools, also charter schools do not have to have qualified teachers teach in the charter schools. They don't have to follow a lot of the rules. And when they do the testing, and the testing right now, testing is used to evaluate a school, and the testing shows that the kids that go to charter schools score miserably on the test.
Well, I know the school that I went to. I know that they did because they weren't very bright students.
There you go.
Okay, I was wondering because it's a teacher up there, but. She's not really a... She teaches, but she doesn't teach the right stuff for a high school. It's more like middle school work.
Really?
Yes.
Really? So they taught down to you?
Yes, they taught down to me.
Mm.
So, but, okay, it's a couple of classes that didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my biology teacher, Mr. Shields, he actually went to college.
Okay.
He knew what he was talking about.
And Timothy, why did you go to a charter school? Did your parents choose that for you? Is that something that you wanted to do?
No. See, the charter school, it was also a construction school.
Mm-hmm.
And for my plan, I was authorized to be a construction worker, but it wasn't working there because they weren't really teaching the field very well to me.
So what did you end up doing?
Well... The last time I got in trouble, they had suspended me for 10 days, but my mom withdrew me. So after she did that, they had a board meeting with the St. Louis Board of Education so I can get suspended for the rest of the school year. And they said that I can go to no public schools until May 28th. And that's why I was wondering if the charter and public schools were affiliated like that.
So you're out of school for the rest of the year?
Yes. But I have to get my credits at home now.
Oh, Timothy, I'm sorry to hear that. But thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Okay, thanks a lot. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. John.
Hi, Liz. I wanted to pick up on that segment you did earlier about the Civilian Review Board, if that's okay.
Sure.
Well, I just wanted to remind folks that there is a crucial vote tomorrow at the Board of Aldermen. And just to recap, the bill passed to perfection last week, 16-8, which means that it's in its final form, and it just needs final approval by the Board of Aldermen now to get through that stage of the process. And when I was a kid, my folks... We were on a trip to Washington, D.C., and I sat in on the debate on the Voting Rights Act. And it was very meaningful to me to be a part of that. I've never forgotten it. It really had an effect on me. So I just wanted to say to folks that if they can make it down to the Board of Aldermen tomorrow, I think it's a really historic occasion. And the mayor has said that he would sign the bill if certain changes were made. And we didn't get everything we wanted. We were bloodied in this battle. But the way I'm looking at it, you should see the other guy. Because we did lose some things, and the mayor got some things he wanted. But it was real clear last Friday that he was still working against the bill. His representative to the Board of Aldermen was working with the filibuster people. And so we need to send a message, too, to the mayor that people are watching, that they know, you know, what he said publicly about this and what he's done behind the scenes. And there needs to be pressure put on him to live up to what he said he would do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that the Board of Aldermen meeting starts at 10 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay, 10 o'clock tomorrow. And where is that, John?
It's at City Hall, 1200 Market. And the Coalition Against Police Crimes and Repression will be making a public statement after the vote. So we'd like people to, you know, be there for that as well. And celebrate what I think is really an historic occasion for St. Louis. A lot of people have come together in a long struggle for this.
Excellent. Thank you so much, John.
Okay.
And congratulations for your hard work.
Thank you very much.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Peter.
How you doing, Ms. Brown?
I'm outstanding.
You know, I was listening to you. Your guest that was in talking about the schools. And I think you had a gentleman that represented the NEA, was it?
Yes, two people representing the NEA. The national president of the NEA and also the local president.
Well, you know, I've experienced some experiences with the NEA going back in the late 80s. And the NEA has always came out against, and the AFT also. And even going back with the Brownsville incident in New York, they have always came out against when black parents and black grassroots organizations has tried to make impacts in changing the programs and curriculum in the public school system. What is the African Center curriculum? What are you talking about, the Baseline Portland essays back in the 1980s in Portland or Detroit or Milwaukee or Chicago? So I would have challenged him on this statement that he made. And you know, what they're doing now as far as working out against the voucher program in charter schools, I can see that they just want to have things as usual.
And I think that I would have liked to have had that conversation, and we'll have him back on to have that conversation, because it's not just stopping vouchers, but it also is definitely there shouldn't be any opposition to curriculums that address the cultural issues and the cultural needs and the historical needs of certain communities.
Just like the one representative said, the founding fathers, but the founding fathers didn't have black people in mind when they wrote the Constitution.
That's correct.
And when you look at the expenditure per the ADA, you know, the expenditure made, $12,000. Like, for instance, 2004 in St. Louis Public Schools, the expenditure was like $11,389. But of that, only 31% went toward basic education, which was a mere $4,001.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just some of the things that, you know, people are hollering about. And I think they're talking about the two-thirds law?
We're talking the 63% or the 68% law.
And I think that should be a larger portion of the. And you know, but
if you look at the details are in, the devil is in the details of the bill. It's not putting that kind of money into the classroom.
Well, and I agree with you.
Okay, so I mean, everybody agrees with the concept that more money should be put into the education piece of it. But what are you going to use to make that happen? And this bill doesn't do that.
Right. And being that only $4,000 of the $12,000 is totally collected per child,
mm-hmm.
the rest of the money is going toward services
mm-hmm.
and contracts and things which you have seen this board has done, because many of those services were at least going to African American entities within the community,
and that's a totally different. I mean, that's a component of the same issue. The issue is not the money doesn't need to come to the schools. The issue is the money, once it gets to the school, needs to be monitored so that it is handed out fairly.
And the same thing with the charter law. You know, you had black grassroots organizations tried to obtain charters here in the St. Louis Public School District, and they were denied. But these white conglomerates were able to come in and do
that,
so.
And that's what I told folks in the beginning, that people that supported the charter school concept with the hope that they would be able to use these to do that. This is America. This was not about giving people of African descent an opportunity to educate their community in a way that they saw fit. It was about money, and that's why we should have been in opposition to that. We should have been in opposition to it because we should have seen this coming down the pike, that you weren't going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Well, and I got to roll. You're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. We have so much to talk about. Get up, get up, get up, and get to me. Get to me. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax.
Update. Dateline Boston. You can be glad you're not living in New England. Residents there could see the cost of their electricity go up by at least 50% over the next 4 years because of pending legislation designed to promote the building of new power plants. For years, utility companies said they needed to produce more electricity to satisfy demands in that part of the country. But government regulations, at least that's what they said, stymied construction of new generating facilities. At last, there's now a consensus on a plan put forth by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to allow for new construction of power plants. But it's going to cost at least $5 billion in new charges through the year 2010. And there is no guarantee that rates for New Englanders won't go even higher than that after the four-year period is over. The electricity rates in that part of the country are already the highest in the nation. But what is really galling is that with these new economic incentives, there is no mandate that utility companies even have to build or expand those power plants. They could, in effect, just take the money and then continue to complain that they don't have enough capacity to satisfy demand, just as they've done in the past. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
After saving the world, a super family like the Incredibles needs a super vacation. And Disney on Ice has it with their new show. Disney presents Pixar's The Incredibles in a Magic Kingdom Adventure. Join Mr. and Mrs. Incredible, Violet, Dash, and Jack-Jack as they meet Mickey and Minnie and enjoy the Magic Kingdom's most popular attractions brought to life on ice for the very first time. See them rocket through Space Mountain. Brave the ghostly thrills of the Haunted Mansion. Whirl around the Mad Tea Party. And when Syndrome shows up to spoil the fun, the Incredibles blast into action. And every child at the show gets a free Incrediban to help save the day. Come share this Disney on Ice adventure with your super family.
Playing March 15th through the 19th at Savas Center. Get your tickets today at all Ticketmaster outlets or online at DisneyOnIce.com.
You are invited to attend a forum examining the role of minorities in government and business. It takes place Wednesday, March 22nd at the University of Missouri, St. Louis in the Century Room of the Millennium Center. Guest speakers include California Congressman Maxine Waters, Missouri State Senator Rita Hurd Davis of the 14th District, and WGNU Wake Up Call host Liz Brown. This national forum for black public administrators is presented in conjunction with the University of Missouri, St. Louis and the Associated Black Collegians. Admission is free. Call 436-8721 for more information.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999. Watching everything the engineer would
move. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
message to all those.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Monica?
Yes.
Liz, you have a beautiful program. I had a question about the All Children Matter. The lady did not finish explaining what was the operative principles of All Children Matters.
All Children Matters is a program that is funded by Walmart to bring charter schools or to bring vouchers all across the country. It's a funding entity of Walmart. That's how they put their money. That's Rodney Hubbard has gotten a ton of money from All Children Matters. Ted Hoskins has gotten a ton of money from All Children Matters. That's an organization that's the funding arm of the Walmart family to get this legislation passed here in the state of Missouri.
Okay.
And all across this country.
Oh, my God. Okay, the other comment I had to make was Alderman Kennedy did an elegant job of delivering the oversight board information, and I was very proud of them, and I also like to compliment the African-American aldermen who are really trying to make
our
community together to have some justice.
Some oversight, absolutely.
And I tell you this, too. I'm glad that Conway is not spelled Kanye.
All right.
And if all goes well, we'll be down and see that tomorrow.
Very
watch
good.
To see what's going on.
Excellent.
But you're doing
and call your
job.
Legislators about this. Call your state rep about this. And the number
is
573-751-2000 about this voucher bill. It is on the fast track, and you need to call your legislators to let them know that you always stand in absolute opposition. You want to know how much money they've gotten from All Children Matters, and you want to know how they voted on it last year. Okay?
I wrote that down.
Okay, got it wrong. Let me read the phone number. It's 573-751-2000.
Oh, 751-2000.
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, Liz, you were talking about charter schools and vouchers this morning, and you mentioned the RCGA, I believe, and could you explain what that is?
The RCGA, that's the Regional Commerce and Growth Association for the City of St. Louis. Every city, every major metropolitan area, and even smaller metropolitan areas have RCGAs. They are the business arm of a community. Like if you own a little business, you join this organization, and then that organization represents your interest in whether getting legislation passed, getting buildings torn down. That's your lobbyist is the RCGA, and they get lots of monies from the state. Our RCGA here in St. Louis is well known for hiring psychics misspending their money. What is interesting is that as Maria Chappelle Nadal told us this morning, that the Kansas City RCGA, their Regional Commerce and Growth Association, has come out squarely, as they should, as a business entity, they should, against this pending voucher bill, because they realize and they recognize how much money will be taken out of the public coffers or taken out of money that the businesses need in order to pay for this billion-dollar boondoggle. What we have here in the city of St. Louis, because we have Francis Slay sitting at the helm, we have a Republican administration sitting here and an RCGA that is all about giving these kinds of tax breaks to corporations like a Walmart that don't need them. And they're willing to spend our money to pay for Walmart. So it's fascinating that the RCGA here in the city of St. Louis has not taken a position in opposition to this voucher bill as the Kansas City RCGA has.
Okay, and I just want to get one other thing straight. The 65 solution,
yes.
Is that the name of it?
65% solution.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, and tell me what your legislators say when you talk to them.
And I know who mine is.
All right, well,
okay.
Let me know what they say.
Thank you.
All right, 454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Hi, Liz.
Good morning.
With the schools, you know, back in the 70s, you know, they had machine shop, dry cleaners, shoe repair, all the high schools. They start ripping us off way back then. And that's why these kids don't have anything to do in school but to read, math, spelling. They have nothing, no hands-on training.
And education is everything.
Yes, it is.
Education is everything. Children should learn how to read. Children should learn how to spell. Children should learn how to count. They should learn those things. But there also should be other options, because all children are not going to go work as a marine biologist.
Exactly.
There are going to be children that build things.
When I was in Vashon High School years ago, we had all those skills and training, and we got a lot of kids that are talented with their hands.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There are children that want to build things. That's where their energy, their gift is. There are children that want to work on plumbing. That's where gift is. So all children, I mean, there isn't a one-size-fits-all, because all of us don't do the same thing.
They took their funding away from those schools back then, and you know, it started way back then with that. And you know, the black community didn't recognize what was going on.
Mm. Well, I disagree. I think that there were people that really railed against it. And what happened was those people were overruled, because there are too many people coming out of the community that benefit. I've talked to teachers, administrators. They were all part of those programs, and they were really, really hurt and upset when those programs were ended. The fact of the matter is that all because we're not widgets out here. Children are not widgets.
Right.
Every child has a different need, and it's a gift, and the training of a teacher that allows that teacher to speak to and address the different gift that a child brings to a classroom.
Exactly.
And the school has to be able to enhance that gift. If a children is proficient in languages, then they should be able to learn. They should be able to learn how to speak with the language of Zimbabwe. They need to learn how to speak Arabic. They need to learn how to speak different languages. There should be those opportunities. If a child is gifted with the aptitude and the desire to learn how to carpentry, then they should have those choices in public schools, and they don't.
And why don't? That's my whole purpose. What is the purpose of SAT then? You got kids that are talented in other areas that hasn't anything to do with the SAT.
Absolutely, and that's another way of classifying us,
yes,
to making us feel like we're
and
classes.
It angers me to the
I understand, because the fact of the matter is that whether a child goes to a college or whether a child goes to a trade school, both of those are valuable things, and one is not more valuable than the other.
Exactly. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. My goodness gracious. Until then, stay strong.
Please do not hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress has been made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air will be brother. Stop listening.
Issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. It's usually a friendly audience for the president, but the Republican leadership isn't necessarily with him when it comes to giving control of major U.S. ports to a Dubai-owned company.
Faced with a mutiny by Republicans determined to sink the ports deal, President Bush is now meeting with the top Republican leaders of Congress. The White House is pleading for more.